for you. Does the Democratic Party take black voters and black elected officials for granted? Well, we're going to explore that on the Wake Up Call this Friday from 7 to 9 when elected black officials join me. We're going to talk about the Democratic Party and we're going to have an answer for you. Does the Democratic Party take black voters and black elected officials for granted? Find out on Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. on this special edition of Looking Black.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brothers, help me discuss. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brothers, help me discuss.
Time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. I am Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. A full day today of good stuff. Good stuff. Issues that we will be addressing. Subjects that we will be covering. People that we will be revealing. It's going to be rock and roll here on the wake-up call this morning. So what's the phrase? Fasten your seatbelts. Fasten your seatbelts, because we're getting ready to do some stuff up in here today. In the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to have elected black officials on. Why? Well, I think that what happened yesterday nationally is a reason why.
we are going to have black elected officials on the show today. Because while this may appear to be somewhat of a local issue, it is not. The perennial question, it has been in existence as long as I have been on this earth, is the relationship of the political party to the constituents of African descent. I submit to you that no one has the record that people of African descent do have in this country with respect to voting. How do I know that? Why do I say that? Yesterday, there were 35 representatives, U.S. representative, Congress people. Let me make it plain. Who voted against the Voting Rights Act? We had congressmen who, with no sense of irony, no sense of connection to the reality of reality. You hear what I say? They have no sense of connection to the reality of reality. Congressmen, with no irony, opened their mouths yesterday on the floor of the House and asked the question, why should my state have to suffer the legacy of a bad history? Well, baby, welcome to my world. Welcome to my world. Why indeed? Let me get this straight. Your complaint is that your state, because of the history of the things that your state has done, and by the way, your state had two senators that couldn't find it within themselves to apologize for not passing a lynching bill. Why indeed should your state have to be bound by a nation's ugly history? Why indeed? Tell me why. Tell me why, because I sure would like to know the answer. See, the fortunate part for that congressperson is that he doesn't have to worry about being stopped while driving. He doesn't have to worry about having housing discrimination. He doesn't have to worry about inferior medical care. He doesn't have to worry about that old mean, old bad, old ugly history rearing its ugly face ahead in his life. Why indeed? Why indeed do we have to suffer as a result of history? 15 million black people want to know why as well. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me. I ain't going anywhere. I'll be back.
Travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else?
Where else, where else, where else? Washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves, everything that you need to make your house a home. If you are trying to fix up the outside of your home, where else would you go but Sears? They have fabulous garden tools. They have fabulous tractors, whether you want to walk or whether you want to ride. You want a low-rider tractor? Get on over to Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. Get your shop on. I'm Liz Brown. When you get there, tell them I told you to.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays at 12 noon for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. I learned at an early age that animals matter to me. Every week we'll share your stories. We'll discuss issues that matter most to you and your companion animals, from breed-specific laws to puppy mills, and answer your questions about pet care as well. You'll also enjoy our special guests as they share their tales. It's an hour of fur, friends, and fun every week. Join me, Randy Grimm, for Animal Tales every Friday at 12 noon on AM 920 WGNU. Woof.
This is Mark Glass. Tune in after the 5 o'clock news every Friday for What's New at the Movies on AM 920. I sit through the bad ones so you don't have to and give you an early heads up on the good stuff. So for advice on getting the best mileage on your entertainment budget, join me, Mark Glass, for What's New at the Movies, Friday afternoons after the 5 o'clock news on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues and the movies that matter most to you.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
This is Liz Brown. I have a question for you. Does the Democratic Party take black voters and black elected officials for granted? Well, we're going to explore that on the Wake Up Call this Friday from 7 to 9 when elected black officials join me. We're going to talk about the Democratic Party and we're going to have an answer for you. Does the Democratic Party take black voters and black elected officials for granted? Find out on Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. on this special edition of Looking Black.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Down by the river, taking off my shoes. Jumping in the water, washing away these blues. Down into the ocean, current takes hold. Words already been spoken, tales already been told. Hearts already been broken, wounds already been healed. Do you wanna be loved? Do you wanna be loved for real? Do you wanna be loved?
Welcome, 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 welcome back. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And don't forget that we have an amazing show coming up in the next hour. Don't forget that we have the Urban Institute on Saturday at 9 a.m. We have much to talk about. Let's have a conversation. Let's have a conversation about where we stand. Where we stand, we have much business to tend to. I feel the heat of where we are, and it is with no sense of lack of understanding that. It is astounding that we find ourselves where we've been before. In the next hour, we're going to be talking about the relationship of the Democratic Party with people of African descent, with elected officials. I think that you're going to be empowered with the specifics of it, and you're going to be concerned about the weight of it, the significance of it. We have much, much, much business to tend to. Much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. You get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. The House approves the 1965 Voting Rights Act. Huh. I love this line. As Southern lawmakers tell it, the House voted Thursday to punish their grandchildren for the racism of generations past. Generations past. Boy, you know what? And in all fairness to those Southern legislators, I haven't checked my mailbox this morning, and maybe I didn't get the memo about racism being eliminated. I didn't know it was done. I didn't know that it was done. Racism is over? Cool. I didn't know. Didn't get the memo, but I haven't checked my mailbox. So maybe during the next break, I can check my mailbox and see, that is done. And we can move on. But I don't think it's going to be in the box. 390-33. Opponents of the laws contended that the states have ended racist voting practices. Really? Huh, I don't know. And again, I didn't get the memo. All I did was read the news. And I'm looking at the Georgia ID bill that a federal judge has ruled that the voter ID card in Georgia is illegal. See, I didn't get the memo that racism had ended, but I'm keeping up with the news. And I guess that's the problem for anybody that's trying to sell you something. A federal judge ruled Wednesday that the Georgia law requiring voters to present government-issued ID cards violated the United States Constitution by discriminating against minority, the poor, and the elderly. If the preliminary injunction imposed by Harold L. Murphy of the United States District Court in Rome, Georgia, is not overturned on appeal, it may keep the law from being enforced until this case is settled. The voter ID bill passed on March 2005 by the legislature is, and of course, a Republican-controlled. Originally required voters to have driver's licenses or other governmental identification or to buy a special ID card. In October, Judge Murphy struck down the law saying the requirement to buy the special card amounted to an unconstitutional poll tax. Then the legislature has done what they've done here in the city of St. Louis and the state of Missouri. Okay, they're free. Judge Murphy decided that the law still ran afoul of the federal constitution. It said it violated the First and the 14th Amendments because of the severe burden on the right to vote discriminates against disadvantaged groups who are least likely to have voter ID. So help me with this again. I don't know everything, y'all. I really don't. I don't know everything. Maybe this legislator knew something that I don't know. When he says that it's not fair. Discrimination has been eliminated in these states. Against voters, huh? Same folks passed the same type of law. Now, understand, folks don't burn down cities like Rosewood anymore. They don't do that anymore. Is there an action, a concerted effort to eliminate black-owned towns? Ask the citizens of Kinlock before the airport. Kinlock was the strongest, most viable, largest black town in the United States of America, bigger than Harlem before the airport. They don't have to burn Kinlock down. So in the South, you don't have to ask the question of how many bubbles in a bar of soap to folks before you allow them to vote. You don't have to tell them you got to pay $15 before you can vote. Oh, no, this is 2006. We do things more sophisticatedly. We pass voter ID bills that say that your grandmama, who's voted for 70 years, now has to go and find her birth certificate, pay for her birth certificate, pay for a lawyer to get her name on her birth certificate, and then take the time to get down and get a state ID, your grandmama, who is in a wheelchair and been voting for 70 years. They don't have to do it. They don't do it the same way. You don't have to burn down Rosewood anymore. Just change the method. I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Office Depot. Westbound 44 at US 50 is closed. due to an accident. Traffic is being diverted onto 50 at this hour. The Eads Bridge will be closing at noon today for the opening of the Live at the Levee series. It will be going on through August 11th, and it will reopen Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Northbound 270 at 44, look for normal traffic. Eastbound 70 at T.R. Hughes all the way into 79, starting to stack up a bit. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, that traffic is building on the ramp. Westbound 64, 55, 70 is moving along freely. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede Landing looks good. Westbound East Bridge traffic is moving steady this hour as well. Westbound 55, 70 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, you're going to see some delays due to paving operations having only three lanes closed, and traffic is slowing at the 64 merge as we speak. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Office Depot. Office Depot has over 400 ink and toner items in stock, plus save up to 15% on Office Depot brand ink versus the national brand. Office Depot, taking care of business. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today and tomorrow, an excessive heat warning is in effect from 1 p.m. this afternoon till 7 p.m. on Wednesday evening. Otherwise, today, hot and humid, mostly cloudy this morning, partly cloudy by the afternoon. A chance for afternoon thunderstorms, a high in the lower 90s. The highest heat index is expected to reach around 105 by this afternoon. For this evening, partly cloudy, another chance for possible showers, low in the lower 70s, but the heat index will still hover around 101 early in the evening. Saturday, pretty much the same, hot and humid, mostly sunny, high in the mid-90s, and the heat index is expected to reach around 105. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 71 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Lambert Fields reporting 72. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
This is Sergeant Gary Wiggert, host of Bad Boys on WGNU. Join us as we discuss topics ranging from review boards and high-speed chases to residency requirements for the police. We'll discuss gangs and drugs and how it affects your neighborhood every Friday at 10. I won't fix your tickets, but I will offer you tips on personal safety and how to make your neighborhood a better place to live. That's Bad Boys with me, Sergeant Gary Wiggert, Friday mornings at 10, only on WGNU.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal, work, or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Roy DeBose from Roy's Transmission.
This is Willie Stebney, Stebney Brothers Auto Body.
Join Roy DeBose and Willie Stebney for the Community Repair Answer Hour, Sunday, 7 to 8 p.m. We will feature experts to answer your questions on all types of repair. Join us Sunday, 7 to 8 p.m.
This is Liz Brown. I have a question for you. Does the Democratic Party take black voters and black elected officials for granted? Well, we're going to explore that on the Wake Up Call this Friday from 7 to 9 when elected black officials join me. We're going to talk about the Democratic Party, and we're going to have an answer for you. Does the Democratic Party take black voters and black elected officials for granted? Find out on Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. on this special edition of Looking Black.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I'm picking up. Can I put it down? Whatever it is, I just can't stop. For only 20
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get up. Get to me. I think that, I think that we need to make certain that when we look at the vote for this Voting Rights Act, the fact that the House has renewed it, let's keep it real, okay? Let's keep it real. The Voters' Rights Act renewal, it's not enough. It's still, it is so astounding that we had to fight to keep something that is so clearly, obviously needed. So understand that that the story is not that it is we won. No, the story is that there was a discussion, that there was a fight. The story is that the same people who the state just turned down, the federal or the court just turned down their Voting Rights Act. I mean, their voter ID law in Georgia. Federal judge had to go outside of the state of Georgia. Oh, and Georgia is in those states covered by the Voting Rights Act. Oh, and Georgia has Congress people whining about being held back by wicked history. I understand the story is not that it passed. The story is that there was opposition to it. WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. And don't miss the point, don't miss the story, don't miss the fact that there are other things going on in this war. If you don't understand that in this world, if you don't understand that we may be on the brink of we're on the brink of something bad. We're on the brink of something scary bad. With Israel, Hezbollah, Jordan, Palestinians. Israel launched airstrikes. In Lebanon, they rain rockets on Israel town. It's the deadliest in years. Israel said that it bombed the headquarters of the Hezbollah in the southern suburbs of Beirut. They dropped leaflets telling people to stay away. Hezbollah fired 120 rockets into Israel. This hit a major port city, going deeper into Israel than any previous missile attack from Lebanon. Oh, there's a war going on. And the interesting thing is that George Bush says, now, mind you, if there is a situation that cries out for diplomacy more than any other situation, I think the one that this does, we have one country with nuclear weapons fighting another country, mad at another country, killing civilians to go get one soldier. Killing civilians to get one soldier. And what is George Bush's diplomatic response to this? Israel has a right to defend itself. Just don't go too far, huh? That's your diplomacy? Huh? Just don't go too far. Israel has the right to defend itself. We're concerned about the fragile democracy in Lebanon. That's it? That's all you're concerned about? The Middle East is on fire. You helped start it with an illegal invasion into Iraq. The Middle East is on fire. And you're saying, well, I'm a little worried about it. Oh, Jesus. We have so much, so much. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Beautiful day. Listen, we're in the middle of we started the Third World War, and you know, they started something they thought they could end in no time at all and be done with it. But America is behind this, and George Bush talked to Ariel Sharon or somebody not too long ago. I think they knew this all the time. Like you say all the time, it's the American public whose eyes they're trying to keep closed. And in time, we're going to find out this is another Boston Tea Party. That's exactly what I think it is. And when I saw that they'd gone into Lebanon, and we are the terrorists. Now, why do they think the other people won't try to protect themselves? They've called these people everything except humans ever since this war started. And now they're talking about Israel having to protect itself. What about the other people? We gave Israel all of those 1,000-ton bombs that will destroy everything in sight for miles. And then they think these people, and God is so good, he just hadn't wiped those people off the face of the earth. It seems that's what is trying to happen under the guise of Israel trying to protect itself. Remember that that those Palestinians didn't fight that Second World War and kill all those Jews. The Germans did. The Germans haven't gotten punished.
Thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. An amazing editorial cartoon in USA Today. There's a headstone of Ken Lay, 1942 to 2006. And then a headstone with Enron employee retirement funds. Two people standing in the cemetery. One of them says to the other person, actually, he did take it with him. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
This hour's Global News Update can be heard in its entirety next Friday in the 6:45 time slot.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Did you know that we have one of the highest unemployment rates, no hospitals in Normandy, and failing schools within the 71st District? Henry Awenafu wants to change this landscape. We can no longer continue to vote for candidates who will not fight for the basic needs in our community. On August 8th, vote for Henry Awenafu, a candidate who will fight to restore our community's landscape like he did as trustee for the village of Uplands Park.
This ad was paid for by the citizens to elect Henry Awenafu.
Through Good Turn for America, be a hero in your community. No experience necessary. Team up with the volunteers from the Boy Scouts and the American Red Cross to promote emergency preparedness. Get a Red Cross first aid kit for your home and encourage friends and family to do the same. Log on to goodturnforamerica.org to make a difference.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
This is Connie Mitchell, co-host of Women Inspiring Women's Authors on the Air. Join us each Friday from 1 to 2 as we explore the world of writing with local and not-so-local authors. That's Authors on the Air, Fridays 1 to 2 on AM 920 WGNU.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Bryant.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up. Get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution. That's revolution at lizbrown.com. Much, much, much to tend to. Much, much, much to talk about. Much, much, much to do. Next hour, we're going to be talking about, there's a story in the USA Today, yesterday, about the battle in the United States Senate here in the state of Missouri. There's a story in USA Today about how that battle is being fought, how it's being fought in the rural highways and byways of the state of Missouri. Is there, did we not get the phone call about our relationship? What? You dating somebody else and you didn't even call me to tell me? What's going to happen to the urban corridors? What, since there's a love affair, a new, you know, and there's nothing like new love now. You know, when it's new, that consumes you. That has all your attention. Nothing like new love. Even if it's a fling, the old relationship gets no love. And so, well, the urban corridors that delivered on the last gubernatorial race, are we being kicked to the curb because folks are in love with somebody else? Rural Missouri? We need to talk about that. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's my number. That's going to be our discussion. It's going to be in the next hour. Stay with us. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Mrs. Brown.
Good morning.
Yeah, Mrs. Brown, you know we're talking about the Middle East and how the United States is wrapped up in this. You know, I believe that Russia is going to be the only savior for the rest of the world. And however we might look at it, you know, it kind of reminds you of the Napoleon War, you know, when France had all its power and they had soldiers in every country protecting these people, and these people just set back Germany and other places, just set back Russia and all, just set back and let France spend all its money protecting them, and at the end they wind up on top. And this is what's happening, I believe, with Russia. Russia is not going to set back like the peoples of color in the Middle East and accept a white man talking about, I am God, you got to be my way, and that's the way it's going to be. Russia is not going to do it. Russia got weapons. Russia got mass destruction weapons. And the United States haven't said one time, one thing about them. It's all been in the Middle East on peoples of color. I don't care how people might look at it, but that's what it's about. It's about peoples of color. Because everybody else makes weapons. Everybody else got weapons. You know, look at Africa. Africa's is killing each other around there and can't make a .22 rifle. They get some all from the Europeans.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Yes, Liz. You know, Secretary Rice says the UN should take the lead. Anyone who's crazy enough to think that Bush, Cheney, Rice, Rumsfeld can be peacemakers in the Mideast is like asking a blind man to be your chauffeur. Thank you very much.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Americans would do well to appreciate and to pay attention to what is going on in the Middle East. We would do well to do that. You want a reason why you need to pay attention and be concerned that and be involved in the fact that George W. Bush has removed himself from this. He's not engaging in any kind of. You know what George Bush is using this Middle East issue for? To try to get people to do to Iran what he wants done. This is an he sees this as an opportunity as opposed to a problem to be fixed. And I don't mean in the good, sunny, optimistic way. I mean in the reckless, irresponsible way. You want a personal reason to be concerned about this? Oil prices hit a new high. $76 a barrel. Why? Because they say what's going on in the Middle East is problematic. The latest surge in oil shook stock market investors' confidence. Though economists said that most U.S. consumers and business appear to be absorbing the energy costs surprisingly well. U.S. gasoline demand continues to rise in spite of a near $3 a gallon pump prices. And U.S. economy is forecasted to grow by 3%. People are absorbing it rather well. Does it feel like that to you? I know that my driving prices have, my driving around habits have changed. I am using less gas than I used to. I am not wasting gas like I used to. Surely, I'm not alone. Gas is $3.15 a gallon. You want a reason to be mad at the Middle East war and George Bush not doing anything about it? You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I heard something on the news that really made my day. I heard that Valerie Plame is suing the usual suspects, flip-flopping W, a.k.a. the war president, Dead-Eye Dick, Cheney, and Karl Rove, and Scooter Libby and the rest of the usual suspects for outing her, endangering her life and other people's lives when they exposed her as being a CIA agent. So I'm really happy about that because it doesn't seem like Fitzpatrick is really doing his job and going after the usual suspects. So maybe we'll get some more action and more people will get arrested after this. Thank you very much.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get to me. Because we are not done here. It is stunning to look at the pictures across the front pages of newspapers this morning. The bombs hitting Beirut. The war expanding. We back in a civil war again, thanks to George W. Bush. The Lebanese government has said 53 Lebanese civilians have died since Wednesday, including one family of 10 and another family of 7. More than 103 people have been wounded. So explain to me, because I'm not good with this. I'm not good with the cost of human, calculating the cost of human life. So one Israeli soldier is worth a dead family of 10, another dead family of 7, 103. So we're allowed to calculate lives like that. One soldier, getting one soldier back. They're entitled to do this for one. So then my question becomes, what is Lebanon allowed to do for the death of a family of 10? I haven't gotten, I really need to get to my mailbox. Because maybe there's a human life calculator in there. And we can calculate out whose life is worth what. Because apparently at the top of the list, one soldier from Israel is worth dozens of dead Lebanese. Hundreds of dead Palestinians. Apparently, again, I don't have my human life calculator with me. Does that seem right? Oh, and I forgot to say, the soldier from Israel is alive. Again, I need that calculator. One live soldier is worth how many dead Lebanese? A soldier that 99.9999999999 for statistical purposes that 100% of the world doesn't know his name. It's not like they're going to get Gandhi. My name is Liz Brown. We have a great show coming at you in the next hour of 2. Stay with us.
For the issues that matter most,
It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger.
It's war outside, yeah. And we're in here now. We can't go out.
He's in an Israeli town on the border with Lebanon, and as far as that little boy is concerned, that is the only way to describe what is going on now in that part of the world. ABC's Linda Albin is there.
Drones, Israeli spy planes target the launchers, and then you can hear the howitzers loose off their ammunition. In fact, I'm looking at a pallet full of shells and casings in front of me, and Israeli soldiers just waiting for the word to go in, should that happen. All night long, the Katyusha rockets have been fired in by Hezbollah, and the Israelis have been responding. Linda Albin, ABC News, near the border with southern Lebanon.
In Beirut, demonstrators rally against Israel and Washington. More from ABC's David Wright.
This is some sort of a demonstration taking place outside Friday prayers. They're burning an American and an Israeli flag, chanting slogans, and they've got two effigies dressed as Israeli soldiers. One man's holding a gun over their head. And they're also sticking the bodies out into the middle of traffic, letting the cars drive over them.
The UN Security Council will meet today to discuss the situation. President Bush is in Russia for the G8 summit. He'll have dinner tonight with President Putin. He is expected to push the Russian leader on his views on democracy and human rights. It's burned nearly 48,000 acres. Now a huge wildfire in the Southern California desert is getting dangerously close to a smaller one in the San Bernardino Forest. ABC's Alex Stone.
Margaret Guthrie says her husband was evacuating when he disappeared.
He might be under something out there, and maybe I gotta look.
Most of her neighborhood has been destroyed. The fire took off yesterday. Now it's heading toward Big Bear, a popular ski resort area and home to 18,000 people. Firefighters worry if it makes it that far, hundreds or even thousands of homes could be lost. Alex Stone, ABC News, Los Angeles.
This is ABC News.
Top three reasons I'll be at Home Depot's end-of-season savings event. Number three, 20% off. Are you kidding me? But number two, no, they're not kidding. You get 20% off. And the number one reason, oh yeah, it's that 20% off thing again.
Right now, get 20% or more off yellow tag items during the Home Depot end-of-season savings event. Find savings on specially marked items while quantities last. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Offer valid through July 30th in U.S. only. See store for details.
Get out of debt and get on with your life. Agencies offering Care One credit counseling services can help. If you have $4, $6, $10,000 in credit card bills, find out how quickly your debt can be paid off. Callers save an average of 30% in payments every month. So gather your bills and call now for a personal debt analysis. Licensing details available. That's Care One Credit Counseling Services. 1-800-695-9092. That's 1-800-695-9092. 9092.
David meets Goliath over internet names. Here's ABC's Richard Cantu. And we'll get to that story actually in just a couple of minutes from now. It's not looking too good for Barbaro, the Kentucky Derby champ who broke his leg, and the Preakness is having even more problems with what once was his good leg. His vets now say that the horse's chances for recovery are not that good at all. Now, back to the internet name story. What is in a name? A lot says investment bank Goldman Sachs, which wants a guy in the Netherlands to change the name of his adult-oriented internet site, which is called GoldmanSex.com. Goldman Sachs says Goldman Sex causes confusion. It's gone to the National Arbitration Forum that mediates disputes like this. The man who runs Goldman Sex says Goldman is a nickname Penn's friends gave him because they thought he was always lucky. He says until recently he had never heard of the world's largest investment bank, but he's fighting to keep the name GoldmanSex.com, which he says is nothing like GoldmanSachs.com. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, four young siblings who drowned in the Merrimack River will be laid to rest today. A funeral will be held at 11 this morning at the St. Louis Dream Center for 17-year-old Damon Johnson, 14-year-old Ryan Mason, 13-year-old Dana Johnson, and 10-year-old Bryant Barnes. They and one other teen drowned Sunday during an outing with the Dream Center at Castlewood State Park. Funeral arrangements are pending for the fifth victim, 16-year-old DeAndra Sherman.
After years of looking for a donor, a Eureka, Missouri boy is undergoing a bone marrow transplant in Minnesota. 9-year-old Matthew Pearl's transplant was set to start at 1:30 this morning. Matthew and his older sister Alexandra both have a rare blood disease called Fanconi anemia. Alexandra underwent a bone marrow transplant in 2001 after a perfect match was found for her in Sweden. The Pearl family says Matthew's donor isn't a perfect match. Local Catholic elementary school teachers are upset with the St. Louis Archdiocese. The Association of Elementary Educators protested outside Archdiocese headquarters yesterday because they want their union recognized. ACE President Mary Chubb says past requests to Archbishop Raymond Burke and the Archdiocese haven't been well received.
The response has been very negative, very surprising. You know, the more we work with it, the more we see how tenaciously they want to hold on to the control.
ACE delivered a letter yesterday asking Archbishop Burke to address their concerns and their problems with the Parish Teacher Committee. In a statement, the Archdiocese says it's committed to working through its Parish Teacher Committee to address pay and working conditions for elementary teachers. ACE says the committee has done nothing in its 7-year history to address their concerns. The St. Louis Board of Election Commissioners is looking for Republican election judges. The city has had a short supply of Republican poll workers in the past. The election board will send automated messages to registered city voters in an effort to recruit Republicans for the August and November elections. Finally this hour, there's a new campaign for women with cancer. Pantene's Beautiful Lengths initiative got underway yesterday on NBC's Today Show, where actress Diane Lane had her hair cut off to be donated for wigs for cancer patients. Denise Davis, the campaign ambassador for Missouri and Kansas, says these wigs typically run around $200, but Pantene will provide the wigs to women with cancer free of charge. More information can be found online at www.beautifullengths.com or by calling 800-642-3754. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Eckert's Orchard. Nobody knows fresh peaches like Eckert's, so bring the whole family to Eckert's to pick your own or buy them fresh picked at Eckert's Country Store. Eckert's in Belleville, where fun is always in season. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU, I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Sonic, America's Drive-In. The Eads Bridge will be closing at noon today for the opening weekend of Live on the Levee series. It will be scheduled every weekend through August 11th, and the scheduled reopening of the Eads Bridge will be on Sunday evening. Westbound 70 at Blanchett Bridge is a disabled vehicle. Right lane is blocked. Eastbound 44, Soccer Park and Watson, expect normal traffic. Northbound 270 at 44 looks good. Eastbound 70 at Hughes looks for traffic building this hour. Westbound 270 at 367 and West Florissant, there's congestion going on there. Westbound 270 at Illinois 203 all the way to Canal Bridge, look for slow traffic there. And all your approaches into the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect delays, including the Eads Bridge and westbound King Bridge as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Try Sonic's tasty and hearty bacon, egg, and cheese breakfast burrito. Make it a combo with Sonic's classic tots or fries and a regular coffee or soft drink. Breakfast at Sonic, it's not just good, it's Sonic good. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today and tomorrow, an excessive heat warning is in effect beginning at 1 p.m. this afternoon till 7 p.m. on Wednesday evening. Otherwise, hot and humid, mostly cloudy this morning, partly sunny by the afternoon. Chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. A high in the lower 90s. The highest heat index reading will be around 105 by this afternoon. This evening, partly cloudy, another chance for showers, low in the lower 70s, and the heat index will be around 101 by early this evening. For Saturday, pretty much the same, hot and humid, mostly sunny, high in the mid to upper 90s. Saturday's heat index will be around 105 by late morning, early afternoon. That is a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic and weather has been sponsored by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 71 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 72. Stay tuned now. It's time for more of the award-winning wake-up call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome to this week's edition of Looking Black, a review of issues that have impacted your life this week and where they may take us next, from differing perspectives. Here's Liz Brown and our guest journalists for this week.
Welcome, 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 welcome. We're doing Looking Black this week, but we're doing it with a different kind of a flavor. My name is Liz Brown, and we have much business to tend to today. We have a very special edition because I have been looking at a number of different stories that have been coming across my plate, coming across my mind, coming across the issues that confront our community. I'm looking at this story out of USA Today. Rural vote courted in Missouri barn burner. This is a story, a headline that pertains to the contest between Jim Talent and Claire McCaskill. And as a non-rural citizen, I live in the city of St. Louis. I'm an urban citizen. I'm an urban citizen of African descent, and I know what the urban area black folks have did for the Democrat that ran for the governorship last time around. So it's always of grave concern to me. I mean, I've dated enough people in my life to know when somebody's attention has moved on. And my concern is that somebody's involved in a new relationship. And if so, what does that bode for those of us that thought we were still involved? Talking about black folks, Democratic Party, I'm talking about black folks and the democratic process, I'm talking about black folks in the state of Missouri. How are we being treated? How are we being viewed? How are we being looked at? And to facilitate that conversation, I want to bring in, I thought it was important to bring in elected officials and people that are in Democratic elected officials and Democratic elected officials of African descent to talk about the relationship with the Democratic Party. We've heard it before. We all resonate with it that the Democratic Party takes black folks, takes black elected officials for granted. Is that so in the state of Missouri? Well, let's find out through some conversation with those that are intimately involved with the Democratic Party as elected officials. I have with me in the studio this morning, I have Senator Maida Coleman. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Liz. Thanks for the invitation.
You're welcome. We also have State Representative Connie Johnson. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
And we have Alderman Charles Quincy Troop. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
And also, I need to, for the record, also state that both Senator Coleman and Representative Connie Johnson are also committee women of their respective wards. So, Quincy, as a dean, okay, and as the only gentleman in the room with us right now, I'd like to kind of start with you, if we may, in terms of a historical perspective. Can you give us a kind of a historical perspective of the relationship of black Democrats with the Democratic Party in the state of Missouri?
Well, just let me thank God for being the only man in this room. This is truly beautiful.
All right, Queen.
Historically, I guess you would have to go back and say that the relationship with the Democratic Party and the African-American community started when there was a coalition between organized labor, the Democratic Party, and the black community. The genesis of that was because the Republican Party at that time, blacks were Republicans. They were doing the same thing to black people that the Democrats are doing to us now. So the blacks found wisdom, and it made sense for them to switch and to form this coalition. Everybody in the coalition benefited. Everybody in the coalition grew and developed. Everybody in the coalition was on the move and has been on the move for the last 50 years, with the exception of the black component. Organized labor has extreme power and wealth. The Democratic Party enjoyed power for 50 years, and the black community and black people in general did not participate in the academic or the social development that occurred with both of their allies, the labor unions and the Democratic Party. In capsule, I think that's where we are today now in assessing what some people call a relationship between the black community and the Democratic Party. My definition of a relationship is a situation where both parties or all parties receive benefits, and the relationship is beneficial, that allows all of the parties to grow and to develop and to prosper. That is not the kind of situation we have with the Democratic Party now, or the Democratic Party has with us, because we still produce 95% of our votes for the Democratic Party. I think I would rather define the relationship between black people and the Democratic Party as a connection. And that is the misuse of our vote, our power, and our people.
And we're going to take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown. We're discussing the relationship of the community of African descent with the Democratic Party. I have Senator Maida Coleman, State Representative Connie Johnson, and Alderman, former Dean, Charles Quincy Troop. I'm Liz Brown. We'll be back. Stay with us. Travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears, where else? Listen, folks, it is time to get your shop on. It's time to get your shop on. Get on down to Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. Union and Natural Bridge, big screen television, small screen television, washers, dryers, lawnmowers, tools to make your inside of your house wonderful as well as the outside of your house. Look, it's the weekend. Y'all got a Sears card. Get on down to Union and Natural Bridge. Get your shop on. Tell them I told you to.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@WGNU.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Informative. Educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Speechless, speechless, that's how you make me feel. Though I'm with you, I am far away, and nothing is for real. When I'm with you, I'm lost for words. Don't know what to say. My head's spinning like a carousel. So silently I pray. Helpless and hopeless, that's how I feel inside. Nothing's real, but all is possible.
Looking Black, the week in review, the week ahead, in differing perspectives, with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. We are having a discussion this morning about the relationship of the community of African descent and that relationship with the Democratic Party. As I have said, joining me in the studio this morning, Senator Maida Coleman, State Representative Connie Johnson, Alderman Charles Quincy Troop, and also joining us from Lake of the Ozarks, I believe, the chairman of the Black Caucus, State Representative John Bowman. John, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding. And I want to get back to, and John, you're just now joining us. I want to get back to the definition that Quincy Troop gave of a historical perspective. And Senator Coleman, listening to what Quincy has said, how Quincy has described that relationship, it sounds a bit dysfunctional. Would that be a fair word to use in terms of assessing some of the things that have occurred with the Democratic Party and the community of African descent?
When you have a party, which as we often describe it, that has a big tent mentality where we allow any and everybody who's just looking for protection, support, it becomes a very diverse tent, mm-hmm. I believe, a very large number of people. I believe that it's like any family. I'm the eldest of eight, mm-hmm. and I have five sisters and two brothers. And believe me, there are times that we can really get at each other, even though the youngest is now 43. But when we leave out of that house, we hope that we're completely on the same page and got each other's back. Mm-hmm. I think that over the years there's been concern as to whether or not any type of internal strife is staying inside or getting out of the tent. Mm-hmm. And so that could lead, I think, to the impression of dysfunctional actions. But at the same time, where else is there to go? Mm-hmm. I mean, is the Republican Party ever going to be able to meet the needs of African Americans, Hispanics, people who come here from other countries? We came to the Democrat Party because it's the party that has been there as a support, as a structure, as a brick house against, if we use an analogy, against the elements.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about how secure that brick house has been to the issues of people of African descent and how black folks, particularly in the state of Missouri, have fared while living in that brick house. I'd like to move to outstate Missouri and talk about the candidacy of one particular candidate. I believe her name is Pat Allen. Is that correct?
Yes.
Pat Allen?
Yes.
And John, can you talk to us about that? Because I think that this is a story that, again, that raises the concern. And also for those of us that don't define themselves as a member of the Democratic Party, or for some of us that do, it raises concerns and questions about how the Democratic Party, how much they really want us to be in the House or outside of the House, taking care of the House. Talk to us about this particular race.
Well, we're fortunate enough to have a candidate down in Kennett, Missouri, which Senator Coleman's familiar with that area down in Boot Hill, named Pat Allen, who was a very credible candidate and had so much knowledge of the area and would bring, you know, some real value to the state of Missouri and to the Boot Hill area, which has a large population of African Americans that, you know, somehow tend to get overlooked. So the concern that we have is when we have a candidate who stands out like her, we would like to see her embrace as much as we see other select groups have a candidate embrace.
And also other candidates within the party, like a Susan Monte, has been embraced.
Hmm. Yeah, well, you could say that.
Okay. So let's talk about Pat Allen and the process of this, because I think that one of the things that people need to understand as they attempt to evaluate what is happening here is how things happen. John, when somebody decides that they're going to run for office, what's the process of that within the Democratic Party? Can you break a little bit of that down for us?
Well, you know, because of term limits, we have a helter-skelter type situation where everybody runs, but Democratic Party has, I guess, their way of selecting a candidate. Well, I shouldn't say the Democratic Party. The party itself has a way of selecting their candidates. And sometimes another person who is probably just as qualified, and in this case where we're talking about an African-American, that selection becomes an issue because maybe it's usually a white candidate against an African-American candidate. But the process of selection is one of which members of HDCC probably gets together and take a vote and determine whether or not they're going to endorse one of the individuals in the race or either stay out of the race.
So, and let me get to Connie here for a second. Connie, what can you give us kind of an understanding of when we talk about the process of how somebody enters into the candidacy? If there is an individual that has stepped out there early, that has made it clear to the powers to be that I'm going to run for this office, this is what I am going to do, and that candidate has a history with that particular community, normally how does the Democratic Party respond to that? Is that when you get out early, it's better, isn't it?
Yes, typically I think what the party tries to do, if someone is out there early, then that eliminates the need for primary elections.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it seems that there's one clear candidate that's going to emerge, then there won't be a primary. And the whole thing about not having primaries is so the person could save money and prepare for a general election
mm-hmm.
against a potential Republican in the general election.
Mm-hmm.
So the party does like, you know, to eliminate primaries when and where they can. And so it is kind of typical if there's one person that emerges to embrace that one person.
It makes sense from a financial sense.
Right.
It makes sense particularly given the fact the makeup of the House right now and the Senate right now with the Republican majority, eliminate the little fights, prepare for the big fights.
Correct.
Okay. And particularly since we have a need to change the majority in the House.
That's right. And so we need to garner our resources and use them appropriately.
So when did Pat announce her candidacy?
To my knowledge, Pat Allen emerged as a candidate over a year ago.
Over a year ago. She made it plain, as Malcolm said, she made it plain that this is what she was going to be doing.
Right.
And when was there a candidate that entered against her?
I believe
at filing. When filing closed, there was a candidate.
and file and close at the end of
March.
And
what does that candidate look like?
It doesn't look like you and me.
White male.
Yes.
All right. We'll be back. We'll be back to continue this discussion. Stay with us as we analyze the relationship between the community of African descent and the Democratic Party in the state of Missouri. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a quick look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your Jeep dealer. The Eads Bridge will be closing at noon today for the opening weekend of Live on the Levee series. It is scheduled to reopen at Sunday at 6 p.m. This event will go on every weekend through August 11th. Westbound 70 at Blanchett Bridge is a disabled vehicle. Right lane is blocked. Eastbound 44, Soccer Park and Watson, look for no problems to report there. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes to 79, look for traffic to be building this hour. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry. All the way into Gravel, you've got congestion going on there. Westbound 270 at 367 and West Florissant, look for some congestion going on there as well. Westbound 40 at McCausland and Hanley, no problems there. Westbound 270 at Illinois 3 all the way to Canal Bridge. Look for slow traffic, and all your approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge are going to be delayed due to the fact of paving operations on westbound PSB, which is taking up one of the lanes, so only three lanes are open. That is a look at this hour's traffic, and this hour's traffic has been sponsored by your Jeep dealer. Wow, get Jeep's employee pricing on almost every 06 plus 0% APR for qualified buyers plus 30-day return through Chrysler Financial. Restocking, mileage, and charges do apply. Details at your dealer or contact AskDrZ.com. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today and tomorrow, an excessive heat warning is in effect beginning at 1 p.m. this afternoon. Otherwise, hot and humid today, mostly cloudy this morning, partly cloudy this afternoon, chance of showers this afternoon. The high into the lower to mid-90s, the heat index will reach around 105 by this afternoon. This evening, partly cloudy, chance of showers. Low in the lower 70s, the heat index will still hover around 101 by early this evening. And Saturday, pretty much a mirror image of today. Hot and humid, mostly sunny, high in the mid to upper 90s, and the heat index will be at 105 by late Saturday morning or early Saturday afternoon. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 72 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 73. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hello, I'm Joe Palm, candidate for state representative in the 57th District. I will support legislation to improve the educational experience for children in our community. I will work for improved access to health care for all citizens. I support a police citizen review board and a community approach to crime prevention. When you vote on August 8th, punch 29. The future of our community is in your hands. Visit JoePalm.com and learn more.
Paid for by Palm for 57th, Vanessa Williams, Treasurer.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
Hi, this is Connie Mitchell, co-host of Women Inspiring Women's Authors on the Air. Each Friday, my co-host Liz Tanz and I explore the world of writing and interview local and not-so-local authors. We discuss relevant, timely, and occasionally controversial subjects. So come hear just what it takes to write a book and learn something new along with us. Who knows? You might find a new favorite author. That's Authors on the Air, Fridays from 1 to 2 on AM 920 WGNU.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi, this is Danny Glover, and you're listening to The Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on WGNU.
This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Like a flower waiting to bloom. Like a light bulb in a dark. I'm just sitting here waiting for you to come on home and turn me on.
Looking Black, the week in review, the week ahead, in differing perspectives with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. This is Liz Brown. I am talking to elected officials in the state of Missouri about the relationship of the Democratic Party with people of African descent, with elected officials of African descent. My guests are the chairman of the Black Caucus, Representative John Bowman. He serves the county. What district is your, do you serve, John?
The 70th district, North St. Louis County.
North St. Louis County. We have State Representative Connie Johnson in the studio. We have Senator Maida Coleman, and we have Alderman Charles Quincy Troop. And we're talking about Pat Allen, a candidate that many of you may have never heard of, but I think it's instructive to talk about how, what she is having to endure in a primary race, why she's having to endure it, and what questions come out of the fact that she has to have be enduring anything right now except for preparation for a general election. Let me move to you, Senator Coleman, because you are quite familiar with the outstate area and what is happening to Pat. One of the things I wanted to talk about is as we talk about the process of when a Democrat decides I'm going to run, and they announce a year and a half or year, at least a year out. They are familiar with this area, and then all of a sudden there's a white male entering the race in the seventh hour of the primary. What things has the Democratic Party done, and what can the Democratic Party do to prevent what Representative Johnson was talking about, preventing candidates from having to expend this money for a needless blood fight during the primary? What have they done, and what can they do?
That's a great question, because being from the Boot Hill, mm-hmm. and knowing the makeup of the area, when I grew up, the only people that held offices were Democrats. In the past few years, since the Democrats have allowed Republicans to come in and take seats, we now have absolutely, we have one Democrat in a legislative post in the state legislature from the south of St. Louis all the way down to the Arkansas border.
And we're not talking about 500 years ago. We're talking about recent past.
We're talking about the past few years, the past decade. And I will give you some examples that I know of. Being from the Boot Hill, not being from St. Louis, but knowing the St. Louis legacies of elections, I know that there have been plenty of times that there have been two candidates or three candidates for a political seat.
Three Democratic candidates.
Okay. I can take you back to the Gephardt years, and everybody knows the name Joyce Abusi. If you're in Democrat politics and Republican politics, you know Joyce Abusi. And there's been plenty of stories that leak out the doors about how people go with their head in their hands to visit Joyce Abusi, the spokesperson for Dick Gephardt, for many, many years, and somebody walks out of there in tears, and somebody walks out with all of the support of the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
Just recently in St. Louis County, a colleague of ours in the Missouri legislature, Barbara Frazier.
Mm-hmm. Is she black or white?
She's white.
Okay.
Being term limited out, and seeking to continue her public service, decided to run for county council. At the same time, we had a young white man named Jake Zimmerman who decided to run for the county council also. Jake came from Governor Holden's administration. He dumped $30,000 of his own dollars into the race, and he was off and running. Jake Zimmerman was probably going to be a good candidate for that race. But Barbara Frazier also had years and years of history and certainly is capable, came from a school board before going to legislature. The powers to be in the county of St. Louis and those politics got together, and they came up with a plan where Jake Zimmerman would take Barbara Frazier's House seat, and Barbara Frazier would go on to have no Democrat primary. She has a Republican opponent in the general, but she has had the benefit now, a head start for many months of raising money and campaigning as the Democrat to beat. So these kinds of things are done.
Well, and let's talk about, I mean, let's get personal here. Let's talk about you, because the Democrats certainly weighed in on the decision, because there was talk that you were going to run as statewide for
yes,
the auditor seat.
Absolutely.
And so certainly you got some phone calls from some Democrats when you started expressing that desire.
Absolutely, and there was talk early that I was going to run statewide. So mm-hmm. we're back to a Pat Allen scenario. In some aspects, Democrats, as with any party, mm-hmm. Republicans, Libertarians, they all weigh in on these elections.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't start running statewide, you don't start running for any of these seats without there being some influence, even to some extent interference mm-hmm. from on high, wherever on high is.
Talk to us about the type. If they don't impact directly, let's talk about the on high interference. Give us some examples of the type of interference that you're referring to.
It appears that the thought of an African American holding a statewide office is something that really concerns people.
Mm-hmm.
And although we've not been able at this point to narrow it down to any one specific person, we do know that there were phone calls made to people to say, do not contribute money to her campaign, do not support her, do not endorse her, hold off on any participation.
Because we got something coming.
Absolutely. So there is that type of activity going on in the background. And I tell you what concerns me about Pat Allen is this. Not only is it to me about how early you come out mm-hmm. and say you're going to run.
And begin the process of running, because
right.
none of us can you know, forget to talk about the
right.
fact that she's been out there working her
Absolutely.
Butt off.
Absolutely. She has been working. Pat Allen is a former school board member
mm-hmm.
in Kennett, Missouri. That's not something that's normal for a black person to hold in that area.
So then she's running, she's announced, and she's proven.
Absolutely.
She's
absolutely.
She's run in a wide area and won.
And I'm glad you said that, because the African-American population in that area is about 9% in this particular state rep district, which includes the city of Kennett.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously more than African-Americans voted for.
Right.
So what's important to me about that race is that it's not just because Pat Allen is black and announced that she's running for state rep. It's the fact that Pat Allen is not only qualified, but well-liked and a hard worker. It's the fact that we've had people decide she is not the type of candidate. And that's why the Black Caucus has taken such an active role in that race.
But wait a minute. It is because she's black, I submit, because why else would the Democratic Party allow for someone to enter into a race with a candidate that has proven that she can win, with a candidate that didn't come out of the woodwork at the last minute, that has been working her game all of this time? Why would the Democratic Party allow for something like that to happen but for the fact that she's black? Quincy? I mean, why else would it happen?
Well, I think the Democratic Party probably take the position that they would have a better chance of winning the seat with a white candidate than they would with a
black. But that's only based on theory, and that theory is confronted with the fact that she's already demonstrated that she can win with white folks. So that's not a sound theory.
I didn't say that the theory was factual.
I'm just responding to that.
Okay,
theory.
And I'm just telling you that the Democrat. Let me just throw this out. If you had a statewide Democratic black candidate running, that itself would cause black people to plug into the election in mm-hmm. a real way.
Mm-hmm.
And my theory is that if you had a black statewide Democrat running, then we would control, we would have a better chance of winning those statewide offices. The local Democratic organizations don't want blacks occupying those local positions. And that's why they don't, even in St. Louis, when we know that if we structure districts and wards where blacks will win, it would empower blacks. But the state party won't demand or won't get involved or redistrict in that way because they're afraid of losing those white Democratic votes. And that's exactly why they, in my opinion, what I've seen in Southeast Missouri, and I worked down there for a few years as well.
Well, we have to take a break. When we come back, Chairman Bowman, I'd like to talk to you about how the Black Caucus is weighing in on this, because I think people need to feel and understand that there's a fight going on to protect this woman out here and to deal with the Democratic Party. And I want to know what the Democratic Party is saying in response to the plight of the attack of Pat Allen. This is Liz Brown. We'll be back. Stay with us.
This hour's Global News Update can be heard in its entirety next Friday in the 7:45 time slot.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in health care providers, and we at Connect Care want you to know that sometimes change can be good. Connect Care. Still connected to the community. Connect Care is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of Connect Care's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At Connect Care, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At Connect Care, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. Connect Care, still connected to the community. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
From A to Z, the Black Business Rolodex can meet all of your shopping needs. OJ Photo Supply, a standard of quality service since 1970. 8338 Olive. Cameras, digital cameras, photo restorations. What's the best film for my camera? OJ Photo Supply can answer your questions. OJ Photo Supply, 8338 Olive, 991-5550. Don't forget, always check your decks.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Looking Black, The Week in Review, The Week Ahead, in Differing Perspectives with Liz Brown.
Oh, we're coming back. We're coming back. This is Liz Brown and a special edition of Looking Black. We're looking black at the state of Missouri and how the state of Missouri and the state of Missouri Democrats, what is their relationship with people of African descent and elected officials? We're taking a look at one race down in outstate Missouri, the race of Pat Allen. I have joining me this morning Alderman Charles Quincy Troop, the chairman of the Black Caucus, John Bowman, state representative as well from the 70th District, also state representative and committee woman Connie Johnson, and state senator Maida Coleman, also she is a committee woman as well. And I'd like to come back to you, John, because as we flesh out what is happening to Pat Allen, how she now finds herself with at the last minute with a candidate, and Senator Coleman had spoken about how the Black Caucus was weighing in on this. Talk to us about what the Black Caucus is doing to help her out.
Yeah, sure. First of all, we came out of the caucus and endorsed Pat because not only, just as I said, is a Black candidate, but is a very credible and qualified candidate. So since that time, we have actually gone down to the Boot Hill area, spent some weekend time with her where there was some activity. She had a chance to get some exposure. She held some forums that she helped organize on voter ID, on the Medicaid cuts, which are really relevant in her area. So she has proven, and even before that, during the last election cycle, Pat spent time registering voters and just proving herself as a true advocate of that area. So the caucus plans to not only go down and do canvassing, we plan to try to get her money and really make this a priority race for our caucus.
And can we just be real here? Because this is such an important conversation. When you all went down there, how were you treated by the Democrats when you got down there? Okay, I mean let's be real and honest about what happened when you, as Black Democrats, went down there. How did the white Democrats treat you?
Well, I will tell you from the experiences down there that weekend, because we participated in several events. What we found was certainly a warm reception from the constituency that Pat Allen will serve. We had white and blacks at the forum that was conducted, the one on the photo ID legislation and
the cuts?
Mm-hmm. And relative to Medicaid cuts. And we also then went to Dexter, Missouri, to a big Democrat rally. 450 people at $15 a plate, which, of course, in St. Louis, sounds really
but in Dexter, but in Dexter, that's a big deal.
450 people turning out to support Democrats at $15 a plate, what's a big deal? We did not have anyone from the state party or any other Democrat candidates at Pat Allen's forums that she helped put together.
That's a big deal, isn't it? I mean, that is, no, let me put it this way. Connie, that's a statement, isn't it? That's a statement that they're not at any of her. She's a Democrat. She's been working. She's been elected. She's run. She's supported the Democratic Party. She's pulling together Black voters and white voters. And this isn't Republican stuff. That's a statement, isn't it, from the Democratic Party?
Well, you know, I would say when I inquired about that, there were, out of fairness, I have to acknowledge, there were two events going on at the same time,
mm-hmm.
and they said that there was a conflict in terms of calendar dates. But let me just go on record, too, and state that there are official bylaws of the party that state that Democrats do not get involved in primary elections.
Okay.
And so from time to time, when we have something like this that transpires, the bylaws are often cited and referred.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is probably one of those times, too, when we're like, okay, the bylaws say the party does not get involved in primary elections.
But I would like to mention to you that what Liz asked mm-hmm. was about the reception for coming down there. This was not a Democrat event that we ran in Pat Allen's district. This was a forum that dealt with Medicaid cuts, photo ID that affects everybody in that district. And what we're talking about is, was there anybody else there to be supportive of this forum that Pat Allen had had?
Before you respond, keep your response in mind. I want to underscore the fact that we have at the top of the food chain Claire McCaskill, who's running for the United States Senate, and to hear her tell the tale, to hear the Democratic Party tell the tale, we need everybody out there to be connected to, and this is rural Missouri where they've been courting their voters out there. You have Pat Allen out there pulling those voters that Claire McCaskill wants, pulling those voters that the Democratic Party wants to take back rural Missouri to the Democrats. So where the Democrats at?
Right. Okay. So, I mean, out of fairness, right, this is a time where we need all hands on deck.
There you go.
And so, yes, somebody should have probably been there. Who should have been there? If I was running for United States Senate, or if I was running for anything, I would have gone to that event.
And I guess also, didn't you get some backlash? Didn't somebody get some backlash from some Democrats about being down there pushing up on the candidacy, the race of Pat Allen, Senator?
Well, I will just say this. When it comes to mistreatment in any aspect, all it really does is create more tension.
Mm-hmm.
The reason that the Black Caucus has taken an active role in this election is because somebody came in and decided that Pat Allen wasn't good enough to be in the race.
And the somebody is the same party that you all are part of.
You know what? I always, and I appreciate that question, and I know where you're coming from, Liz. I think I see it in a perspective, and I have to say again, I come from a background where I belong to a large, large family, and I understand that you don't always get treated with respect.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about whether or not there are better options out there.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, we have to hold people accountable, though.
But you also have to tell the tale. No change, no family can make positive changes without being honest and forthright and clear. And sometimes families have to do an intervention. And the intervention means that you need to tell the truth about how people are acting, what people are doing, and what people need to stop doing.
Right. We have two scenarios going on in the state right now that I'm aware of with African-American races. Our former colleague, our soon-to-be former colleague, Sharon Sanders Brooks, is from Kansas City.
There you go.
And Sharon Brooks is being term limited out.
Yeah, let's talk
about
it.
She has chosen a candidate to replace her.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's just like in the city of St. Louis. When Quincy Troop, who you often refer to as the dean of the house, Quincy was there, what, about 30 years or 20 years old. I thought you started when you were like a baby.
17.
But it would have been really strange for Quincy to not have groomed mm-hmm. a candidate or know of someone that would be qualified to replace him. And respectfully, nobody got involved with dumping somebody over in that district to run in his seat. But in Sharon Sanders Brooks' case, there was a candidate that was sought out, I believe, from what I've been told. Now, I have to admit, I've not spoken to the particular office holders in the House Democratic Campaign Committee, which John Bowman referred to as the HDCC.
Mm-hmm.
But my conversation with Sharon Sanders Brooks was, I had a candidate. The HDCC went
what's
out
the
and put some,
what's the
House Democratic Campaign Committee,
mm-hmm.
the fundraising arm and the arm that helps find candidates for races, did not even confer with her.
And that goes back to, who do you choose to be disrespectful to? Who do you choose to minimize? Who do you choose to take for granted that I can do anything to you and you ain't going to say jump about it?
Right.
You know, so and also isn't there also, and we have another hour here to continue this conversation, but isn't there also some connection with Susan Monty and this is what is going on in Kansas City?
Absolutely.
I'm seeing head shakings, but I'm not hearing any words coming out. Okay.
I ain't going to gossip.
Okay.
You heard it from me.
Okay.
Well, I just think it's more than that.
Okay, and we'll talk about the more to that and the, all of that, too, when we come back. We have to take a break. This is Liz Brown. I'm having a conversation with elected officials of African descent. We're talking about the relationship with the Democratic Party. I want to talk about the money, too, Quincy, when we come back, about the money the black folks ain't getting, too. My name is Liz Brown. We're taking a break. We'll be back.
Yes.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, stop
resisting. But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
The issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Tanks roll across Israel's border with Lebanon and fire as the fighting continues. Guerrillas fire 17 rockets into northern Israel. Israeli warplanes pound Beirut's airport. ABC's Matt Gutman is near the border.
The first thing you hear is a whistle, sort of a long-range whine, and as it comes closer, you think you have more time than you do, but the rocket seems to surprise you. There have been six or seven that have fallen right around us, a couple of journalists hanging out here in this village of Zar'it, and as they come in, your whole body seems to shrink. You hunch yourself over. You try to get instinctively lower. We are in an abandoned building here. It looks like there is sort of a makeshift bomb shelter downstairs, and a lot of journalists have taken shelter there.
Lebanese officials say the death toll is into the dozens. The tension in the Mideast could spill into the G8 summit.
President Bush bluntly supported Israel.
Every nation must defend herself against terrorist attacks.
With this caution from Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice.
It is extremely important that Israel exercise restraint in its activities of self-defense.
Other members of the G8, including Russia, have condemned Israel's actions, calling them a disproportionate use of force.
ABC's Claire Shipman in St. Petersburg, Russia. A raging wildfire that's charred nearly 48,000 acres in Southern California is burning dangerously close to a smaller one in the San Bernardino National Forest. Captain Tim Chavez is with the California Department of Forestry.
We're in uncharted territory. That area hasn't burned in recorded history since, you know, Europeans have been here. So we don't really know what it's going to do.
At least 150 buildings have burned. Hundreds of people have been evacuated. The governor of Massachusetts is expected to sign an emergency bill today to take control of all tunnel inspections in Boston's Big Dig project. Last night, lawmakers overwhelmingly approved the bill after learning of more than 200 places where the bolts are separating from a tunnel roof. This is ABC News.
Top three reasons I'm getting all new appliances. Number three, my kids keep saying their popsicles taste like lasagna. And number two, when the dryer's on in the laundry room, I can't hear the TV in the family room. And number one, in a way, I get rewarded for it.
Right now, get up to a $200 Home Depot gift card by mail-in rebate on all major appliance purchases. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Offer valid through July 30th in the U.S. only. See store for details.
How long will I be in chemotherapy?
What should I ask my doctor?
What are the side effects?
Will I lose my hair?
When will I start to feel better?
What about alternate therapies?
Who can I turn to for help?
If you're facing chemotherapy, it's easy to feel overwhelmed. But now it's easier to find answers in one place, chemotherapy.com. From different types of treatment to side effects, to the right questions to ask along the way, the answers are at your fingertips at www.chemotherapy.com. Your complete chemotherapy guide.
You have to be known for something, even if it's being a second banana. And here are the best.
When it comes to playing second fiddle, Ed McMahon is top.
Here's Johnny.
Entertainment Weekly named the former Tonight Show announcer the greatest sidekick of all time. For three decades, McMahon introduced Johnny Carson and took his seat on the couch, providing guffaws on cue.
Holy jack in the box.
Boy Wonder was number two on the list. You couldn't have Batman without Robin until the movies came along in the 80s. Jerry Seinfeld's neurotic friend George Costanza was third on Entertainment Weekly's list. Brad Wheatless, ABC News.
Ladies, start your hearts. Paperboy King or Queen, as the case may be, Harlequin Romances, is shifting into the Red Heart NASCAR market with In the Groove. It's a love story that starts when Lance, described as a super sexy race car driver, accidentally runs over Sarah, a kindergarten teacher. You probably know what happens next. You'll be able to find In the Groove not only at bookstores but at the NASCAR race this weekend in New Hampshire. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryant-Meyer with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, a three-alarm fire in South St. Louis remains under investigation. The St. Louis Fire Department closed several streets around the 4200 block of Beck while they fought the blaze in an abandoned warehouse. Fire Chief Sherman George says the crews will continue to water the area until the warehouse is safe to enter.
The building itself may be untenable. We won't put anybody inside of it, so we may have to just put water on it for days. We don't know that yet.
Several residents in the neighborhood say a loud bang was heard before the fire broke out. No injuries were reported. The ramp from the Poplar Street Bridge onto southbound I-55 and westbound I-44 will close at 7 tonight. Crews will be doing overlay work on the ramp. Debbie Allen, a spokesperson for the Missouri Department of Transportation, says motorists can expect delays on the bridge. Detours will take motorists onto westbound I-70 and back onto eastbound I-70 to access I-55 and I-44. The ramp will reopen by rush hour on Monday morning. Missouri State Auditor and U.S. Senate candidate Claire McCaskill has a plan to reduce America's dependency on foreign oil. McCaskill will reveal details of her plan during a statewide tour next week. She says it's not about an election year photo op, like the plan proposed back in April by her opponent, Senator Jim Talent. McCaskill says offering people a $100 gas rebate when it's their own money shows how out of touch Talent is. Finally this hour, a concert this weekend will benefit a Metro East teen who continues to recover from an April attack. The concert and silent auction will raise funds for 17-year-old Ashley Reeves' recovery. Former Freeburg High School teacher Sam Shelton is charged with attempted murder for allegedly attacking Ashley and leaving her to die in a Belleville park. The benefit takes place at Panorama Lane's Ballroom in Belleville on Sunday starting at 2 in the afternoon. $10 donations will be taken at the door. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by your Jeep dealers. Wow, Jeep's got employee pricing on almost every 06 Jeep. Plus 0% APR for qualified buyers, plus 30-day return through Chrysler Financial. Restocking mileage and charges apply. Details at dealer and AskDrZ.com. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a brief look at your traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's. Eastbound 40 between Weldon Spring and K. Look for a deer that was struck to be removed. Eastbound 44 from Merrimack River Bridge all the way to 270. Expect some delays there. Northbound 270 is heavy on either side of 44. Eastbound 70 at 79 and Mid Rivers Mall. Look for congestion there. Westbound 270 at 367 all the way into West Forest and expect delays as well. Westbound 40 from McCausland to Hanley. No problem to report. Westbound 5570 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. You've got paving operations reduced to 3 lanes and traffic is slowing near 203. All of the rest of your approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge are slow at this hour. In fact, the King Bridge is reporting very heavy volume, as well as East Bridge is also backed up through mid-span, and the rest of the approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge are stacked up at this hour as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's restaurants. Get dollar Big Macs at participating McDonald's restaurants on Monday, July 17th, and help celebrate the official grand opening of Big Mac Land in the new Busch Stadium. Limit 2 per customer. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, an excessive heat warning is in effect beginning at 1 p.m. this afternoon. Otherwise, hot and humid, mostly cloudy this morning, partly cloudy throughout the day. A chance for showers and a possible thunderstorm this afternoon, high in the lower to mid-90s. The highest heat index is expected to reach around 105 by this afternoon, so if you can help it at all, please stay inside and stay cool. This evening, partly cloudy, another chance for showers this evening with a low in the lower 70s. The heat index will still remain around 101 by early this evening. Saturday, pretty much the same, hot and humid, mostly sunny, high in the mid to upper 90s. The heat index is expected to reach around 105 by late Saturday morning into the afternoon hours. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 72 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 74. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's another special edition of the Looking Black segment that's up next. Take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Welcome to this week's edition of Looking Black, a review of issues that have impacted your life this week and where they may take us next from differing perspectives. Here's Liz Brown and our guest journalists for this week.
Welcome back to Looking Black. This is a special two-hour edition of Looking Black. We're taking a look this week at the relationship of the Democratic Party with the community of African descent in the state of Missouri and really beyond. Our guest this morning we have joining us from over there in Lake of the Ozarks, the chairman of the Black Caucus, John Bowman, state representative for the 70th District. We also have state representative Connie Johnson, also committee woman of the 27th Ward. We have the dean. We have Charles Quincy Troop, Alderman of the 1st Ward, and Senator Maida Coleman, also a committee woman as well. Welcome all. Good morning and welcome back. John, I know that you have duties to attend to because your caucus is going on down there. That's why you're down at Lake of the Ozarks.
That is correct, Liz. We have our annual Legislative Missouri Black Caucus this week, and actually I'm hosting a panel discussion on the auto industry crisis in about another hour. So,
If we can, then, because I want to focus on you and give you an opportunity to get ready for your presentation, I'd like to go back to the issue of Pat Allen, because I think it is so instructive about what happens to black candidates and when they decide to run in the state of Missouri, how the Democratic Party responds to them, and then I also want to return to the issue of what the Black Caucus is doing about this. John, can you tell us about the significance of the Black Caucus's position on deciding to embrace the candidacy and work for the candidate, Pat Allen, down there in the Boot Hill area, or outstate area?
Well, the Missouri General Assembly needs to recognize that this is a diverse state. Well, they won't recognize, but we need to make them recognize that this is a diverse state. And there's a true benefit in having individuals who grow up in a certain region, who understand the issues in an area, and are passionate about that area. Because of that, they have the have the opportunity to come in and represent that mass of individuals. And there is truly a need to have a wide spectrum of voices in the General Assembly. As the Black Caucus, of course, we have to focus on economic and health and different issues related to our community, and the only way that we can strengthen that voice is with a larger number of people speaking and one voice. So Pat Allen brings value in that way. She also brings value to the state as a whole, over 5 million people, because she is a strong advocate on the issues that affect us in a very progressive way. She's a progressive-minded person. So this is the type of candidate, as I said before, usually they say, we don't care about these races. But having ran against an incumbent, I know that is not exactly how it works. Regardless of what is written, the performance has been to intervene on behalf of certain races, and then you have to connect the dots in these races sometimes. There are other things that we know that go on behind the scenes, but Pat Allen's race is definitely one of those races that the caucus is strongly committed to.
Well,
and will not back off.
And let me ask you this, John. Have you articulated your concern to the powers to be within the Democratic Party about, you know what, why does she have to fight at all? Why is there this white male candidate in there? Have you expressed that concern to the powers that be?
To be honest, I'm looking forward to some meetings to come up in the next couple of days and have an opportunity to hold discussion on this issue.
But surely, John, surely when on election or the night that filing closed and y'all discovered that there was this white guy that had filed against her, surely y'all said something to somebody at that time. Surely there were conversations held.
Well, first of all, you got to find out who it is that's making those decisions and how to get to the bottom of what's going on, because I'm not going to necessarily think that this could just, as Maida would say, only a family or civil squabble. There could be many other factors. In that area, you got to recognize, it is predominantly white. And so, therefore, there are some mechanics that are in place that we can't get to. But whatever role that we feel the party is playing in, there has been some conversation about races related to the one in Kansas City and this race, but the fact of the matter is we have got to make sure we're connecting the right dots and going to the people who are actually moving these type of activities against us with this race.
And Connie, surely you said something when you found out about it.
I did say something, but I really can't say what I said on air.
Mm-hmm.
Because
we would not have our license if we had it.
Well, basically, and the thing of it is that when it all went down, you know, there was a gun that was smoking, mm-hmm. and people, we were trying to find a fingerprint.
But
I think that's what John is saying.
I appreciate that, and particularly as an attorney, I appreciate wanting to find the fingerprints, but irrespective of who was holding the gun, the shot was fired.
I just have to jump in and say, based on other scenarios about how people get people in races, mm-hmm. and get people out of races, there was plenty of opportunity for there not to be an opponent to mm-hmm. Pat Allen.
For a couple of weeks after the announcement.
Absolutely. There's always ways, and people do manage to work a way for a person
there you
to
go.
Get out or
there you
stay
go.
In.
There you go. So there was opportunity. Even though we'll never have the videotape of who fired the gun, and we shouldn't even be trying to find that out, they knew. And it was there is no explanation of why she still has an opponent right now.
That's right.
It's true.
And we're going to take a break, folks. We'll be back. I'm Liz Brown. This is Looking Black. We're taking a look at the relationship of black folks in the Democratic Party. And we're going to move to Kansas City when we come back. Stay with us. Travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears. Where else? Where else? Where else are you going to get washers, dryers, big-screen televisions, little-screen televisions? How about a DVD player? How about a tractor? You know what? You get the trifecta of the shopping experience when you go down to Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. You get great location. You get great quality, and you get outstanding customer service. My name is Liz Brown. When you get your shop on at Sears, when you take your Sears card over there and get some great deals, you tell them I told you to.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Now and then, a politician comes alone whom people trust and respect.
This is former State Representative Betty L. Thompson.
I am Richard Dockett. On Tuesday, August the 8th, we urge you to support Sandy Colquitt for State Representative in the 72nd District. That includes parts of University City, Wellston, and Pagedale.
We're working hard to make Sandy State Representative because she has earned our confidence and deserves a chance. to be our voice in Jefferson City.
If quality health care, stable neighborhoods, and a solid education system are issues you value, then we challenge you to join us in voting for Sandy Colquitt.
Sandy will make us proud, and it's our job to make her your state representative of the 72nd Legislative District.
Paid for by Colquitt for State Representative Vanessa Young, Treasurer.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about.
314-454-0400. 1-877-920-WGNU. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown right here on AM 920 WGNU.
What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Been around the whole world, still ain't seen nothing like my neighborhood. And of all of the fancy satin and silk, my white cotton feels so good. Search high and low for a place where I can lay my burden down.
Looking Black, the week in review, the week ahead, in differing perspectives, with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Looking Black. We're having a conversation this morning about the relationship of people of African descent and the Democratic Party as it pertains to the state of Missouri, and it really actually beyond that. We've been talking about the candidacy of Pat Allen from outstate and that, and I want to get to Senator Coleman just for a second, just as kind of like as the final note with this, because I had asked Chairman Bowman about the role of the Black Caucus in this, but there's some historical significance of what the Black Caucus is doing right now with the embracing of this particular candidate.
It's really significant right now because what this has created, and this is great actually for not only the Black Caucus but for the state. This is such a blatant disregard and disrespect, I think, for the type of candidate that would be good for the Democratic Party and the state, that the Black Caucus has taken. This is just the first step in what we will continue to now do statewide. We will now make it a point to be involved in outstate races. We will find Black candidates outstate to run in elections.
And you use the word disrespect. Another piece of evidence. I mean, we're constantly gathering evidence to draw conclusions about how people feel about us and how this party relates to us. You were disrespected, if I may say so, when you went down to advocate on behalf of Pat by members of the Democratic Party You are a senator. You are the other title that Quincy, the other, describe what her role is, because you are the dean, and this is her role is a big deal role, right?
It's a big deal to me, because I mean
it's a big deal in fact.
She's the first female minority leader of the Missouri Senate. She represents. She's the head Democrat in the Senate
and
in
yet,
the state of Missouri.
And yet some Democratic person lower down on the line began to question your question about why Pat Allen has any kind of opposition.
Well, this is why you just can't in passing say mention anything to Liz Brown. Because, you meet on the street, yeah, Liz, and next thing you know, you're on the air talking about it.
It's important.
And it's a good point, and we've been having, although the listening audience can't hear, we've been solving some real issues here when the mic is off. But I will just say that I have, since our event down in the Boot Hill with Pat Allen, I have had an opportunity to have conversation with a state party, a Democratic state party employee, mm-hmm. works for the state party, who, when I asked why was there interference mm-hmm. In this race, he told me that there was no interference and no one from the state party or the HDCC had been involved in finding a candidate to put in that race. And I said, based on the information that I have been told that that is not true. We got into this exchange that got a little childish at one point.
And that's my point, that how dare someone who is, approach you like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I want to say that because I think that I take ownership of the fact that we have elected officials of African descent in high places. And to me, that is insulting, and it speaks to the concern that we have about how black elected officials are treated by this party. I don't have the film of it, but I submit to all of you that are listening and all of you in the studio with me right now, nobody would have rolled up on a white male state senator with your seniority like that. They wouldn't have dared to do that. Quincy, what do you think?
I agree. I think Maida is powerful. I think she's wonderful, and I think she deserves respect.
And she would have gotten it if had she been of a different
view. Well, I will mention
and gender
very quickly that at the end of that conversation, I was able to make this kid,
mm-hmm.
as I will refer to him as, make this kid understand, one, you're out of line,
mm-hmm.
two, I know what I'm talking about, and three, if you don't, instead of getting into a debate with me about it, just do your job.
Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that, and I know that he felt that, but my point is that what kind of atmosphere has been created within the Democratic Party and their relationship with black folks for this young kid to instinctively know that he could do that? You know, and that you had to check him.
Well,
you know, we
black women will check somebody.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely.
So I won't have that problem.
That's
again.
What the C in black stands for, yeah. Checking folks for black women.
Let me say one more thing before you get off with John Bowman, and that is that we are experiencing great leadership under mm-hmm. John Bowman as our new chairman of the Missouri Legislative Black Caucus, and we as a group have come together not only to do the Black Caucus Foundation, which is going on this weekend. And, John, please know that Representative Johnson and I will be on our way down there today when we finish this, but that the Black Caucus itself will be in a retreat after this foundation conference adjourns Saturday night. We will stay there for another 2 days.
To work out your agenda. And I just want to, if I can just throw something at you as well, because I feel that there is something very collective going on right now in our community at the Urban Institute where we're meeting. And Connie, you've addressed it, and so made it so of you, and John, you will be. One of the things that we've talked about as we approach these upcoming elections is the creation of a black card, the questions to ask all candidates that want to run for office. And one of the questions that we decided that we are going to do is to ask every candidate whether we're to get a commitment from them that they are going to join the Black Caucus, and a commitment from them to further an agenda and bring an agenda to the Black Caucus, because I don't believe that that is something that candidates are being asked. I know that they're not being asked that, because there has to be a connected. We are only as strong and as powerful as the organizations that represent our interests.
Right. Liz, you have to make sure that you don't have Republicans in Democratic clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
I think that's what you have when you have people running for statewide and other offices.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's happened down in the Boot Hill region when you had independents running. They were Republicans in Democratic clothing, and then they switched parties.
Mm-hmm. So and so I think that it is a very important thing. I'm glad that you all are going into your retreat. I am hopeful that you all continue to work on issues like this, because we're all impacted by these types of issues of the treatment of Pat Allen. And I'd like to take the next step to move towards Kansas City and talk about this other race that's going on in Kansas City. And before we go there, one more connection with this Pat Allen race. It is rumored that Russ Carnahan has the son working at his office that is the son of the person that is running against Pat Allen. So that's what the rumor is out there. I haven't had it confirmed entirely yet, but if that is so, Quincy, it speaks to another one of those connective things with the Democratic Party.
Well, you know, I would have to agree that would be really interesting, but it would be consistent with Russ Carnahan. The other issue
consistent with Russ Carnahan, what does that mean?
Well, you know, you have people who are whatever you expect them to be if they want to get black votes. So they will, you know, always considered I think old black people call them body snatchers, you know. And it's like snatching black votes. So they'll do whatever they have to do to get black votes. But in their heart, and if you really watch them on the floor and watch the way they vote and why they vote the way they vote and what they don't vote for, then I was never impressed with him anyway.
And, John, I heard a little bit of a chuckle in the background there when I said that.
Well, you know, it becomes very important to make these connections because if that is the case, you know, that type of activity will be addressed. And as Maida spoke to the retreat, we are putting together an African-American agenda, which will include how we put things together to make sure we can protect our candidates against outside intervention like that, whether it be the Carnahans, the Kennedys, or whoever. It's going to be important for them to understand that our vote, which is we refer to as the base, it's extremely important, and you can't get
they can't win without
take it for granted.
They can't win without our base, bottom line. They can't win without
right.
it. John Bowman, chairman of the Black Caucus and state representative from the 70th District, thank you so much for joining us this morning, and I look forward to having the conversation after your retreat about the agenda.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, take care. Listen, folks, we're taking a break. We'll be back. We have another half an hour waiting for us. We're not done here.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Eckert's Orchards. Westbound 270 between 367 and West Forest, that congestion is cleared. Eastbound 40 Woods Mill and Mason expect normal traffic. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, no problems to report there as well. Northbound Route 3 on the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect some delays as you merge into Poplar. Westbound 64, 15th and 5570, look for heavy volume. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the gravel pits, you've got heavy volume. Westbound East Bridge, it is also heavy. This is due to westbound 5570, Poplar Street Bridge. They've got paving operations going on. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Eckert's Orchard. Nobody knows fresh peaches like Eckert's, so bring the whole family to Eckert's, pick your own, or buy them fresh pick at Eckert's Country Store. Eckert's in Belleville, where fun is always in season. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and today it is excessive. Heat warnings are in effect beginning at 1 p.m. this afternoon. Otherwise, hot and humid, mostly cloudy this morning, partly sunny by the afternoon. Chance for showers and thunderstorms this afternoon, high in the lower 90s. Highest heat index will be around 105 by this afternoon this evening. Partly cloudy, another chance for showers, low in the lower 70s. And the heat index will still be hanging around 101 by this evening. For Saturday, hot and humid, mostly sunny, high in the mid to upper 90s. And the heat index will be about 105 by late morning, early afternoon. Currently, we have 75 degrees at the studios of AM 920 WGNU. Lambert Field is reporting 74. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's a special Looking Black segment that's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
This is Mark Hinderleiter, host of Lessons in Leadership. Every Friday afternoon, I interview high-level leaders about leadership issues that matter most. As far as I know, it's the only show of its kind. Whether you're an executive, manager, teacher, coach, volunteer leader, or the head of a family, this show is for you. You'll get practical tips from real leaders on topics that can give you the competitive edge in the marketplace. Tune in every Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock to Lessons in Leadership.
This is Mark Glass. Tune in after the 5 o'clock news every Friday for What's New at the Movies on AM 920. I sit through the bad ones so you don't have to and give you an early heads up on the good stuff. So for advice on getting the best mileage on your entertainment budget, join me, Mark Glass, for What's New at the Movies, Friday afternoons after the 5 o'clock news on AM 920 WGNU. where we discuss the issues and the movies that matter most to you.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Hi, this is Danny Glover, and you're listening to the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on WGNU.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother. It's the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Come away with me in the night. Come away with me. I will write you a song.
Looking Black, The Week in Review, The Week Ahead, and Differing Perspectives with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to Looking Black. I'm Liz Brown. We're talking about the relationship of African people with the Democratic Party. Susan Monty, I know we wanted to go to Kansas City, but no. Let's talk about Susan Monty and what that indicates, what that shows, what that says about our relationship, black folks' relationship with the Democratic Party. Quincy, the candidacy of Susan Monty as she's running for state auditor, and what does that say? What does that say about the relationship that we have with the Democratic Party?
You know, as a longtime Democratic committee man and working with the state party, I think I might still be president of the 4th Senatorial District.
Mm-hmm.
My observation is that Susan Monty is Claire McCaskill's candidate, okay. Always have been and had been groomed to take her place. And that Claire McCaskill, Susan Monty is in this race because Claire McCaskill, like I said earlier, feel more comfortable running with Susan Monty than she would have made a Coleman. And I think that is something that black people need to really, really weigh and really look at the whole concept of I'm a Democrat or I'm a Republican. I think our agenda has to be something apart from the Democrat and the Republican Party. I think we need to be flexible whereby we can threaten and carry out our threat on the Democratic Party, i.e. Denny Meredith in southeast Missouri. When they was thinking about running the black fellow that's a banker down there, I forget his name, he worked in the bank for state rep. The white Democrats say, well, we're going to run an independent. So they ran an independent. And the independent won that seat.
And I guess that gets back to the point about what Maida was talking about of being part of a Democratic family. I don't feel like I'm part of a family. I don't feel that this is a party that looks at me because of my skin color and says we're both in the same party because of the disparate treatment that is targeted only towards people that look like me, people that look like you. Well, and the Susan Monty piece to me speaks to that because Susan Monty has not been in the city of St. Louis. And Connie, you a committee woman? She wants you to have her on your ballot. And have you seen her? Have you talked to her? Have you had any conversations with her about coming to your community?
Oh, yes, I have had a conversation with Susan Monty, and Susan Monty has told me that basically that part of her campaign strategy was to raise money, and therefore she would not be coming into the city of St. Louis or any area that had lots of contested primaries.
But put her on your ballot.
Oh, No.
She expected that you were
right.
Going to put her on your ballot.
Oh, yes. Yeah. She had indicated that there were a lot of groups that she had not met with, but they were going to go ahead and support her anyway. And I expressed to her that I was concerned because she had not been into the urban area, and I expressed to her that she should be a little bit more sensitive to the situation, particularly in the city of St. Louis, because we had an African-American candidate from this region, and she has stayed away. And I can understand initially maybe why she stayed away, but now it was time to come on in and try to make and build relationships.
We're 14 weeks out of the election, the general election.
Right.
Maida, you're a committee woman. Have you heard from Susan Monty?
Well, I will tell you honestly that Susan Monty and I have spoken a couple times, and of course, when I was out across the state, forming relationships and talking about my candidacy for auditor, Susan and I had an opportunity to converse several times. I spoke to Susan Munty just last week, and she did give me the same information that Representative Johnson has just talked about. I tell you what concerns me about the lack of input right now from a statewide candidate like Susan Munty is that everybody, I think, is coasting on what transpired in Missouri, particularly in the urban areas, in 2004.
The Holden McCaskill race.
Right. We had a primary fight.
Mm-hmm.
It was a primary.
Yes, it was.
We had an incumbent being challenged.
I had bumper stickers that said, Bump Bob. Okay, I remember the fight. I remember the fight.
Well, I don't have those bumper stickers.
I have one on my door.
I don't have those bumper stickers. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And I will tell you this. I have a great relationship with Bob Holden. I have a great relationship with Claire McCaskill. And that was one of those situations that, you know, I feel loyalty to who I work for. And, and Bob Holden was the governor at the time. And, of course, I was happy to run over and help Claire as much as I could afterwards, as I am now.
But as a result of that race, folks had to do something different in the urban area than they did
as
before.
As a committee woman, and not only a St. Louis City 7th Ward committee woman, but as a state committee woman, I see a real difference in this primary than I do than what occurred in 2004. There was a significant increase in voter turnout in 2004, and there were reasons that people came out that are not still significant or relevant.
But there's also, Quincy, there was also an outreach that took place in that primary that is not taking place in this primary.
And you know, the other thing that is
really... speak to the outreach of it.
Let me talk about the outreach first, but let me just pigtail on what both Ameda and Connie said. The last time I heard a candidate said, I am not going into the city of St. Louis, for whatever the reason, that was Matt Blount. When he disregarded...
Because we live where Democrats live where nobody else wants to.
No, where we were dehumanized by the Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
And when you got a Democrat come back and say the same thing.
Same thing.
Then I think that there's no difference between the two, in my opinion.
That's right.
Because... Mm-hmm. It just makes no sense to let them disrespect us.
It's kind of like, the lowly Democrat that's taking you on. It's a disrespectful thing, and it also is a taking for granted type of a piece that I don't need to talk to y'all because I know that I'm going to get your votes anyway. But the change in the ballot is going to...
And it started with 27 because I'm telling people right now, Susan Monty told me point blank, I am not doing anything until after the August 8th primary, and then I told her point blank, then we will not do anything until after the August 8th primary. So for those of you who are listening, when you go to vote in the 27th ward as your committee woman, you will not see the name of Susan Monty on a 27th ward produced ballot for a state auditor. We will not do that. So since you're going to wait after the primary, we're going to wait after the primary.
And then they got to get your enthusiasm back up then after that, too.
But it's more important that Susan Monty is expected to receive 95% to 97% of the black vote.
That's right. That's right.
Blunt received 3% to 5% of the black vote. So how can you sit up and say this is a community that's going to give me 95% of its vote? But I don't have time to talk to you. That is political idiots.
Let me ask the question to the elected officials sitting in the room with me right now. What should be our response? Shouldn't we punish people that act that way towards us? Shouldn't we do something to that type of behavior? If you have a child that is acting in a way that the child is not supposed to be acting, do you encourage them in that bad behavior, or do you respond to that bad behavior and make them stop? Sometimes it requires a whooping. You know, sometimes it does. Sometimes it requires a little time in the timeout chair. Sometimes it requires a whooping.
I will say this. I'm glad Susan Monty said that to me because for the first time, I really understood and felt probably what Fannie Lou Hamer felt. I really now understand what she meant when she said, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Mm-hmm.
So I thank you. I thank Susan Monty because now I understand.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, I really understand what probably what the woman meant.
And but there's a new day. There's an opportunity. I feel that there are spiritual things that happen. There's a new day with this change in the voter ID bill, because we don't have straight ticket party voting. So Susan Monty is a doubly stupid candidate to think that without having, and I mean stupid from the perspective of not looking at, you're not a smart candidate. You are not a smart candidate in the world of no longer straight ticket balloting. I need to know your name before I vote for you. And for you to say, I ain't coming down here to tell you my name, but vote for me anyway, when there's no straight ticket ballot, that's stupid. That's politically a stupid act. I see head shakings. We're gonna take a break. We'll be back. Stay with me.
This hour's Global News Update can be heard in its entirety next Friday in the 8:45 time slot.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
From A to Z, the Black Business Rolodex can meet all of your shopping needs.
S.
Seven Signs Masonry, 618-338-2871. Tuck pointing, all brickwork, whether it's your chimney, mailbox, flower beds, barbecue pits, all your masonry needs. The best hands in the business, Seven Signs, 618-338-2871. Don't forget, always check your decks.
Hotep, this is Pastor Ray Higgins, and I would like to invite you to tune in to the On One Accord broadcast every Sunday morning from 6 to 8:30 a.m. for the best in liberated gospel music, live talk radio, and powerful messages about truth and right spirituality. Join me right here on WGNU 920 a.m. every Sunday morning from 6 to 8:30 a.m. and let's set our people free. Hotep.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
This is former State Representative Betty L. Thompson. My life has been a pattern of challenges and historic firsts. You trusted me for years to make progressive decisions for you in University City, and then as your state representative in Jefferson City. I know what it means to work to make a difference. I know when the time has come to make a change for the better. On Tuesday, August the 8th, I ask for your support of Sandy Colquitt as state representative of the 72nd District. Sandy has shown that she cares about people and will work hard to make health care and education her number one priority. I need your help and your vote for Sandy Colquitt on August the 8th. Let's make a positive change and make Sandy Colquitt your next state representative for the 72nd District. This is former State Representative Betty L. Thompson, and it's time to start thinking about tomorrow.
Paid for by Colquitt for State Representative Vanessa Young, Treasurer.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Looking Black, the week in review, the week ahead, in differing perspectives with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to Looking Black. We're having a conversation here about the relationship of the African community with the Democratic Party. And the Susan Monty race, we have about 10 minutes here or so, 13 minutes or so, so we have a couple of things to get through. But the Susan Monty piece, I have to talk to you, Senator Coleman, as a committee person. What are you going to do on Election Day? It is clear that Susan Monty said, Nobody needs to know my name, just black folks. Put my name on the ballot and take that, and then maybe we'll come through prior to November. What are you going to do?
We have it. You know what? I have this conciliatory type of attitude about most things in life. And I really like to give people an opportunity. Now, I've had conversation with Susan Muntey, but Susan Muntey has an opportunity still to get to the city of St. Louis, meet with the 7th Ward constituency, and get our endorsement and our support. Hopefully, Susan Muntey is on our ballot, but Susan Muntey has not spoken to the 7th Ward as a group as yet.
But we have not only that she has not spoken to your ward, the 7th Ward, but what she has said to Connie, that is not what her intention or her plan is. And, you know, as the older you get, the more you need to believe people, who people are when they tell you who they are, okay? And if you haven't been here, my concern is that then you a newbie with trying to have a relationship with black people, and I can't trust what you're going to do come election day. And if you don't instinctively know that I got to kiss my base, I got to embrace my base, I got to pursue, I got to make my base feel wanted, and if you got to force somebody to want you, come on.
It's like foster kids. I mean, I felt like that was a slap in my face.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and it was
a slap
in the face of the constituents of the 27th Ward.
When you start talking about any of these elections, especially when you're running statewide, when you're running for these top of the ticket positions.
With no longer any straight ticket balloting.
Yeah. You have handlers, and that doesn't necessarily mean your handlers are full of the best advice. I want to just make it very clear,
I want to make it clear.
I am very supportive of Democratic candidates, but I want our candidates to understand that you will not just be able to fly in on the coattails of the 2004 election. And you just mentioned it, Liz. There is no more straight party ballots for the 2004.
And what that means to the audience out there, there's no number to push where all of the Democratic candidates are pushed or all of the Republican candidates are pushed. You got to know the name of the person that you are pursuing and punch that name. And I think that is an opportunity for the community of African descent to flex themselves out here, because you need to know, I need to know your name.
Well, I'm concerned especially about the auditor's race, because there's a whole bunch of people who are looking at the candidates out there and they hear the name Jack Jackson and they ask me if he's related, if he's black, because he's got a black name.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you can't stop working because you may be the party's chosen or the favorite child.
But it's not a question of stop working. It's about taking for granted, okay? Because I suspect that Susan Muntey is working with other folks. I suspect that she is working in other places. She's not working with us.
That's right.
And that's my concern. For real, I don't care what you're doing with somebody else. I care what you're doing with me and my community. And you have made a decision, irrespective of what your handler said. You are a grown woman, okay? You're grown. And you're an attorney, and she's smart enough to come to St. Louis and suck clients. She has an office here, and she's an attorney from St. Joe that has an office here in St. Louis, and she gets plenty of black folks as clients, so she's smart enough to suck the clients up out. Why isn't she here to talk to us about voting for her?
Mm-hmm. You know, and I think the same thing with Claire. You know, we supported Claire. That was some of
us. Yes, yes,
that
very, much so.
We
very
fought,
much so.
We fought
very
the
much
system,
so.
And we fought
and we
with
won.
Claire, and we won.
And we won.
And then after we won the primary, Claire went south on us. You know, and I can't forget that, you know, and because she never thought she would probably run again anyway, or she would need us again. But now here she is talking about she want to run for the Senate.
Well, I can tell you that Claire McCaskill is going to be in the community, and she will be doing what it takes, and she's a lot more astute at this probably than a person like Susan Muntey, but whatever the issues are there with Claire McCaskill, she will talk to you, Quincy,
you know, you didn't support Claire McCaskill.
You know what? I did not support Claire because I supported. I supported Bob Holden. But after Bob Holden lost, I was with Claire.
Claire's a trip.
Okay. You got to give people an opportunity.
I'm giving her an opportunity.
Wait a minute. Okay. What we're talking about here is that...
Have you called Claire, Quincy?
I wouldn't call her.
Quincy, don't even go there. Guess what?
Here's the thing. No, I'm not running for anything.
Here's the thing. We need to talk about what we have to do as a community to make it possible for, to make an opportunity for the changes that need to occur in our community. The fact of the matter is that Claire McCaskill is at the top of the ticket. Therefore, it is her responsibility to make certain that the candidates are out here responding to and relating to the community of African descent. The first steps that have been taken by Susan Monty are awful steps, are awful actions, and the community of African descent must impress upon, we have a responsibility to respond to it and also to demand that things are done differently. And that's my hope with this show, is to make that demand. Connie?
And this will restore some order. The process, the whole purpose of committee people are supposed to get out the vote. We are to educate our constituents on elections, okay? And so if candidates don't come and talk to committee people, then we have no way of educating our constituents on who is running and what issues are on the ballot. So therefore, you know, I cannot in good faith and good conscience address my constituents and tell them, go vote for this woman, because this woman has told me, I see you after August 8th. So when I go talk to my constituents, I say, well, we'll see her after August 8th. Okay? So because that's what she has told me. But as for other candidates, you know, I will, you know, we will put them on the ballot accordingly because they have followed protocol.
Okay.
Okay. As Sojourner Truth said, ain't I a woman? Ain't I an elected official?
There you go.
Ain't I an elected official?
And I do want to underscore something, too, and a point not to be missed in this. I understand and I am also concerned with the relationship of the top of the food chain, Claire McCaskill, the Democratic Party. But let us be clear in terms of the Republican Party. They return in phone calls.
They're not doing
what they're supposed to be doing. They're not in our community. And let us be clear that, even the lackeys that the Republican Party now has running their stuff with Jim Talent, the Tiffany out there, she speaks to the same issue that we have a concern with the African community, because she is carrying the same type of water. Her position is, and I'm insulted by this, her position is one of a blocker for black folks for the Republican Party. She does more to convince and to make and cement the issues and the problems with the Republican Party.
She's oblivious, too. But Claire McCaskill, being the top of the Democratic Party, better etch this within her mind that she's already at the top, so the only way for her to go is down.
1-877-920-WGNU. And we're having a discussion this morning about the relationship of the Democratic Party with the community of African descent, and where do we go and what do we do as a community when we have this discussion. And Quincy, I want to end with the money piece, because one of the issues about the candidate in Kansas City, and there's rumors out there that it's somehow connected to Susan Monty, that there is a white candidate in that race in Kansas City that has always been a black seat, that we have a white person interjected in that race, that because there are two black people will walk away with this. And the reason for that is the money that's coming into, the money that is there in Kansas City. Let's talk about the money. We have about 3 minutes to do this.
Okay, well, money has always been an issue for blacks, you know, especially with the Democratic Party. And the Democratic Party, number one, they don't put any money in the primary elections. We contribute to all these committees, but our general election is our primary election. So we never get any of our money back. Where it's important to us, and that's why the labor unions gave us a little money. But when you really check the campaign disclosures, you will find that the labor unions are not given a lot of money in the primary election. And by doing that and taking that stance, that means that very, very little money comes into the black community and the black candidate. Historically, the Democratic Party has not funded the blacks in the primary, and the labor unions have not funded them at the level that they fund the white candidates. So money is a critical component. Now the Democratic Party and the labor unions are taking the position, maybe we don't need to get involved at all in primary elections. And if you look at the campaign disclosures over the last 4 years, you will find that the labor unions are giving more and more money to the Republican Party. Especially when you have Ron Gladney out there, who is the husband of
Joanne Emerson,
who is the Republican congressman. I think our union gave him $10,000 to go and lobby the Republicans in Jefferson City.
Mm.
And that's just and I think in that pot they might have had about $80,000 or $90,000 from the different unions to go up to give money to and to lobby in the court to Republicans.
And this brings us full circle to the article that's in USA Today about how Claire McCaskill and Jim Talent are wooing the rural voters. It is as if that they cut out black, they take black people for granted, and they cut black people out, and then they start chasing after. It's a dysfunctional relationship. Chasing after people that don't care about you and ignoring the people that do.
It's not a relationship.
It is not a relationship. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me this morning. Senator Coleman, thank you so much.
Thank you, Liz.
Representative Connie Johnson, thank you so much.
You.
And Quincy, what can I say?
This has been dangerous.
Okay, always, always. I'm Liz Brown. We're bringing this 2 hours to an end. But there's more. There's another good hour waiting for you. Stay with us.
Never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound at the below, that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air, tell me, brother.
Truth is that not everyone is sharing.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Alderson. It's not hard to walk on broken glass in places along the Israeli-Lebanese border. In fact, it's hard to avoid it as the fighting continues. Israeli warplanes are blasting areas in Beirut and Hezbollah guerrillas are rocketing northern Israel towns. ABC's David Wright is in Beirut.
The streets are empty, shops are closed, restaurants, you see chairs piled up on tables. This is a city that's kind of bracing for what may come. And with every explosion, everybody winces a bit.
The conflict may be on the other side of the globe, but you're going to feel its effects very soon here if you already haven't. At the gas pumps, the tension is pushing the price of oil to record highs. President Bush is in St. Petersburg, Florida. He's already made what the White House describes as a gentle statement about Russia backsliding into democracy when he met with 20 Russian activists earlier today. The highlight of the first day is expected to be dinner tonight with Russian leader Vladimir Putin. A wildfire that's already burned nearly 48,000 acres in California's Yucca Valley is getting dangerously close to a smaller fire in the San Bernardino National Forest.
There's over 1,300 firefighters on the ground. We have not seen a let up in the number of firefighters coming in here. They continue to surge resources, as they say, into this fire area, trying to get it under control. The problem that they have, it is a very difficult fire to fight because the terrain is so steep that for the most part, in a lot of places, they are limited to using a lot of helicopter attack on this fire.
ABC's Miguel Marquez in the San Bernardino National Forest. The Discovery astronauts will do more damage inspection on the shuttle today. One more look before they go home. They'll use the International Space Station's robotic arm today to get a look before undocking tomorrow. Landing is set for Monday. The Dow is down 55 points in early going. The Nasdaq is off 9. This is ABC News.
Top three reasons I'm getting all new appliances. Number three, my kids keep saying their popsicles taste like lasagna. And number two, when the dryer's on in the laundry room, I can't hear the TV in the family room. And number one, in a way, I get rewarded for it.
Right now, get up to a $200 Home Depot gift card by mail-in rebate on all major appliance purchases. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Offer valid through July 30th in the U.S. only. See store for details.
How long will I be in chemotherapy?
What should I ask my doctor?
What are the side effects?
Will I lose my hair?
When will I start to feel better?
What about alternate therapies?
Who can I turn to for help?
If you're facing chemotherapy, it's easy to feel overwhelmed. But now it's easier to find answers in one place. Chemotherapy.com. From different types of treatment to side effects, to the right questions to ask along the way, the answers are at your fingertips at www.chemotherapy.com. Your complete chemotherapy guide.
It's Independence Day in France. That's La Marseillaise, the national anthem in France. The country is celebrating Bastille Day in the traditional way with a military parade down the Champs-Élysées in Paris and fireworks along the beach in Nice. Bastille Day honors the 1789 storming of the Bastille prison, which started the French Revolution. He was a comic legend who won an Oscar for a dramatic role. Red Buttons is dead at his home in Los Angeles. Here's ABC's Bill Daly.
While Red Buttons began his career as a comic, it was a drama, Sayonara, that won him an Oscar for his role as Sergeant Joe Kelly in that 1957 movie. Buttons' Academy Award led to other films, including The Poseidon Adventure.
Please, everybody, you heard what the Reverend said. He's taking us up towards the engine room.
In recent decades, Buttons appeared on TV in shows like The Love Boat, Knots Landing, and ER. He got his name when he worked as a singing bellhop in a bar. His uniform had red buttons that matched his hair. Bill Deal, ABC News.
Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Friday, about 3,500 people in the St. Louis area are still without power after a round of thunderstorms last night. No major storm damage is reported in the St. Louis metro area, but high winds brought down trees in Franklin and St. Francois counties. Heavy rain also caused some creeks to flood in Franklin County. The Poplar Street Bridge won't be the only scene for weekend traffic headaches. Missouri Department of Transportation crews will shut down the exit ramp from southbound I-270 to eastbound I-70 at 7 tonight to replace expansion joints. The ramp should be open by 5 on Monday morning. One lane will be closed in both directions on I-70 at I-270 through August 13th. Also this weekend, lane restrictions will be in place on northbound I-170 for bridge work at Forest Park Parkway and Ladue. The fighting continues today between Israel and Hezbollah. Jean-Robert Legay-Fillou, a political science professor at St. Louis University, says Israel isn't helping its cause by firing on Lebanon. He notes that Lebanon isn't responsible for the attacks by Hezbollah. Israel and Hezbollah militants have been firing on each other following Hezbollah's abduction of two Israeli soldiers during a border raid on Tuesday. Israel has blocked Lebanese ports and fired on two Lebanese military bases and the Beirut airport. Hezbollah fighters have launched rockets on northern Israel. Finally this hour, a young St. Charles County mother is fighting for her life. Jessica Inchiostro of O'Fallon was diagnosed with a form of leukemia last month. Jessica's mother, Cindy Offner, says her family is turning to the community for help by holding a bone marrow drive.
Her only sibling was not a match, so that's why we have to have this drive, because that's her only chance of survival.
The bone marrow drive will take place on Wednesday from 4 to 8 p.m. at the Trigg Banquet Center at 300 O'Fallon Road. For more information, contact Cindy Offner at 636-397-6330. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Try Sonic's tasty and hearty bacon, egg, and cheese breakfast burrito. Make it a combo with Sonic's classic tots or fries and regular coffee or soft drink. Breakfast at Sonic, it's not just good, it's Sonic good. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a quick look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your local Jeep dealers. Eads Bridge will be closing at noon today for the opening weekend of the Live on the Levee series. This is going on every weekend through August 11th. It will reopen on Sunday evening at 6 p.m. Southbound 170 at Page is closed due to an accident. The ramp from Page on to southbound 170 is also closed at this hour. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge, a disabled tractor trailer is reported in the left lane, and traffic is slowing east of 3rd Street. Northbound 270 at 44 is back to normal at this hour, and that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your local Jeep dealer. Wow, Jeep's got employee pricing on almost every 06 Jeep, plus 0% APR for qualified buyers, plus 30-day return through Chrysler Financial. Restocking, mileage, and charges apply. Details at your dealer, or you can go to AskDrZ.com. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and today, an excessive heat warning is in effect beginning at 1 p.m. this afternoon. Otherwise, hot and humid. Mostly cloudy this morning, partly sunny by this afternoon. A high in the lower to mid-90s. The heat index is expected to reach around 105 by this afternoon. For this evening, partly cloudy. Another chance for showers. Low in the lower 70s. The heat index is expected to reach around 101 by early this evening. Saturday, pretty much mirror image of today. Hot and humid, mostly sunny. High in the mid to upper 90s. And the heat index should reach around 105 by late Saturday morning or early Saturday afternoon. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 75 degrees. Lambert Field is also reporting 75. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I see down here in revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. We decided to extend this an hour because we realized that we didn't have a chance to take some phone calls from folks. So I'd like folks to call in to weigh in on this issue of the Democratic Party and the relationship of people of African descent. The number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. You can also call at 454-0400. You can also email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. Please don't forget that this show, because it's the Wake Up Call, is archived daily at whiterosesociety.org. So if you've missed an hour, you can go ahead and get your hour. And I know that those last 2 hours is something that you want to add to your collection of Wake Up Call shows. So the number is 454-0400, 1-877-920-WGNU. Please weigh in on the issue of the relationship of the community of African descent with the Democratic Party, particularly as it pertains to the state of Missouri and as it pertains nationwide. 1-877-920-WGNU. I want to thank all of you for deciding to stay on a little bit. Representative Connie Johnson, Maida Coleman, and the Dean, Charles Quincy Tube. Don't try to stop them from talking when they want to talk, because it cannot be done. 1-877-920-WGNU. Caller, you're on the air. Good morning.
think it gave us...
Start over again, caller, please.
I wanted to thank you for the first segment this morning. I think it was something that we needed to hear, not only from Quincy Troop, who I also consider as the dean of politics in St. Louis, as it relates to the black community. I think that's something that we don't have here in the city of St. Louis. We need that dialogue between our black state legislators with our local black legislators to have some type of direction as to the political climate here in the city.
Talk to us about your perception of the climate here in the city of St. Louis. When we talk about the relationships that the people of African descent have with the Democratic Party, how would you describe the relationship?
You know, I can speak for myself and some others. We're somewhat confused. When we look at how the black political powers-to-be or politicians in St. Louis separate themselves on certain issues and on certain candidates, what does that tell us? Where does that lead us?
Mm-hmm.
It's telling us that maybe it's not the Democrats that have our best interests at heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they can't decide themselves on a particular candidate, you know, and I could go back to Senator Daugherty's position. You know, that was a seat that was held for so many years by a representative of the black community. And when it came time to replace that seat, the black political powers to be throughout the state separated and went and divided for the two candidates.
And let's talk about that. Thank you for that observation, caller. Appreciate that. And let's talk about the challenges that we face when, because Quincy, you were intimately involved in that. When we talk about issues like that, the way that the caller described it, are there some things that the community of African descent as elected officials from African elected officials, are there things that need to happen within that group to address situations like that?
Well, you know, in that particular situation, it was a situation where you had the powers to be. I think that the congressman at that time had a problem with me, and even though I had 95% of the black committee people voted and supported me and chose me as the candidate of choice, the congressman had a problem with it, and he couldn't change the black vote, but he could sway Gambaro and Rhodey in the 17th Ward to switch to make it impossible, you know, for me to win straight out. That created the conflict and caused us to lose the seat. Most people don't know that the congressman was involved in that, but he was the one that pulled the trigger on that. And the decision was made it would be me or Darnell.
And the challenge that presents itself is a challenge of, and that's why I'm so excited about what's happening here, what's happening with the Black Caucus, that there is an organization, a collective collaborative that is going on amongst all of us to make certain that that type of an issue, that type of a thing doesn't happen within our community. Again, that we have that actual control over who's going to be representing our community. We're going to take a break. We'll get back to some of your calls. We'll get back to some more of this conversation. I'm Liz Brown. We'll be back.
This is Lloyd Sloan, the Sloan Ranger, defending truth, fighting bad guys, and sometimes wearing a mask. A little history, a little entertainment, current events, a lot of good fun, and healthy debate. Call me, argue. If you're wrong, I will disarm you. But have no fear. The Sloan Ranger never shoots to kill. That's weekdays 5 to 6 on WGNU.
This is Lizbeth Tanz, co-host of Women Inspiring Women's Authors on the Air program. Join us each Friday from 1 to 2 as we explore the world of writing with local and not-so-local authors. That's Authors on the Air, Fridays 1 to 2 on AM 920 WGNU.
It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
You need to get up. You need to get to me.
We have much to talk about.
314-454-0400. 1-877-920-WGNU. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Oh, Lord. Turn on the television. I'm watching Martin Luther King, who had a dream. Oh, so take this dream and apply it to your life. Even though we know the ghetto's rah-rah, but we got to darkness shall come. Oh, 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 oh.
It's a real song. Real song.
Oh, 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 oh. Somebody.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I am here with Senator Maida Coleman. I'm here with Connie Johnson. I am here with Alderman Charles Quincy Troop. We're talking about the relationship of the community of African descent with the Democratic Party. And I want to talk about some money. Before I get to the callers, before I get to you all, I want to, and we are taking your calls at 454-0400, 1-877-920-WGNU. I want to talk about some money. One of the things that we didn't have a chance to talk to Representative Bowman, the chairman of the Black Caucus, about was he had talked to me about this flyer or this brochure that the Democratic Party had paid money for and correct me if your understanding of this is wrong, if my understanding of this is wrong, a brochure to go out and to engage black people, a target piece to black folks about black elected officials without any specific names or any particular races. And when Representative Bowman looked at this brochure, he was just totally offended by its content. It made black people look bad. It didn't do what it was supposed to do. And there hadn't been any black input on that. And that's an issue, I think, that I would like to hear you all talk about, because when we break that brochure down, the Democratic Party did it. They sent it out of town to get it done. They sent it to a white company to speak to a piece to speak to black people, and then when it comes in, it's all jacked up. And that's really one of the, I mean, it's also about money. It's also about money being used to empower different businesses within our community.
I got a call from John in my capacity as vice chair. He was very upset and said he was going to have to call an emergency meeting of the members of the Black Caucus because of this brochure. He indicated that he had written a pretty strong letter to the chair of the party, Roger Wilson, about this brochure, and many members have not seen it. I think that's what's going to be discussed at the retreat, and I think we're actually meeting with Roger Wilson also to discuss this and other issues.
Who is Roger Wilson?
He is the chair of the Democratic Party.
The state Democratic Party.
And so I think what John was upset in part because it was something that he was excited about because it was going to be a piece of literature initially to help, you know, the image of African Americans in the Democratic Party, and I think he felt that it did just the opposite. So I have not seen the piece. I don't think the rest of the membership has seen the
piece. And I'd asked for a piece, and it hasn't reached my email yet. But
so that's why the emergency meeting and retreat has one of the main reasons, in addition to the other problems with the lack of African American outreach with some of the ballot initiatives
and other
problems.
And let's talk about that too, because it goes back to the money piece of this, irrespective of the fact that we haven't had a chance to put our eyes upon it, the issue of who made it. Yeah. Who got paid for making it, and what it said remains.
Right. I think the issue is, you know, if we are to be considered a part of the Democratic Party, you know, it's more of an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, it's not inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
It's an illusion of inclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's a technical legal phrase. Illusion of inclusion.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so if you do a black piece and show black faces, but white faces are the ones who do it,
You know, we need to be included on all levels.
Mm-hmm. And all levels mean
right.
not just the images and the photograph.
Right. And so, you know, you have African-American political strategists. You have African-American political consultants. You have African-American printing. And you
graphic
have,
designers, you have, copywriters,
right.
television commercial makers, all of that.
Right.
Consultants.
All of that.
And all of these people are professionals.
Mm-hmm.
And so we as a caucus like to advocate for minority vendors,
mm-hmm.
minority inclusion, and particularly in the political process.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, one of the big issues has come up regarding these ballot initiatives.
That's right.
And what they're doing. You know, they... If in fact, number one, are they doing African-American outreach? And two, do they have any African-Americans at the table?
And that's one of the things that I think it's always very powerful to, when you look at people's campaign finance reports, you don't just look at where the money is coming from in terms of contributions,
mm-hmm.
you look at where they're spending money.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the things that when I looked at the race of Jean Carnahan when she ran a number of years ago, looking at where she spent the money, you can have a little, you know, a resolution. I love black folks on the floor of the United States Senate, but if I look at your campaign expenditure form and I see that you're only spending with white folks and white businesses and they are able then to create entities and institutions within their community, I got to evaluate you on where you spend your money too.
Exactly. Look at the Blount and McCaskill race.
Mm-hmm.
They spent over $40 million for those. The two of them put together, and if you cost that out, I think it would look like $2 or $3 per vote. But if you look at how much of that $40 million came into the black community, whether it was goods and services or paying for elections, I bet you it was less than 3%. So that's completely ridiculous. Now we got the talent in McCaskill's race. Now that's going to cost about $60 million.
He has seven. She has about $4 million or something
yeah,
like
right
that.
Now.
That's
so,
what the numbers
so
are saying.
So they already got $11 million.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Caskill
so.
Has raised $2.9 million compared with Talent $7.6 million through July.
But in that Blount rate, I think Claire spent more money than Blount.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
In her rate.
Mm-hmm. And that again, that's how we evaluate people. That's what we look at to see: are you spending money? And the other piece of it is that what other community do you feel comfortable going into? Do you feel comfortable going into Hispanic community and saying, you know what, I'm going to, even though I don't speak Spanish, I'm going to write the Spanish copy, okay?
Right.
Even though I am not familiar with the difference between a Puerto Rican or a Mexican or a Honduran,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to go in and write the copy and create the relationship with that community. You go get Mexicans, you go get Hondurans, you go get Puerto Ricans to speak to that community.
Mm-hmm.
Coming back to the idea of disrespect for the black community, oh, we can do that, we got that, I know what black people want, I'm going to go hire a white person to go get that done.
Or better yet, they'll just go get one. And I call it the one theory.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
they get their one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they get the one that's set by the window.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
And they get him or her to represent, I call, you know, kind of that Jesse Jackson theory, how
mm-hmm.
he speaks for all black people.
Mm-hmm.
They get that one black person from the St. Louis side, and they get the one black person from Kansas City, and then they got black people covered.
But in all fairness, the role is not simply to sit by the window. The role is also to, I think, it's kind of a football role, kind of a blocker role, too, because you're supposed to block any other black person that attempts to make a connection. They have two roles.
But
they have a role to sit there and get that little bit and to block any other black person from it.
I have found, and this is what has been frustrating to me in the political arena, I have found that it seems that unless black people start acting a fool,
mm-hmm.
Raising Cain, you know.
And articulating our issues. I
right.
mean, if you don't make a noise, they ain't going to see you or hear
well,
you coming.
And I see this in the money aspect
mm-hmm.
of it also. Representative Johnson and I are committee people, as you have mentioned, and Alderman Troop was a committee man for many years also.
Right, that's right.
And it's frustrating to those of us who are actually on the front line
mm-hmm.
when we are the ones who are canvassing, knocking on doors, selling the candidates, selling the issue, and the elected officials or the candidates come into town, they find somebody who's going to make life miserable for them
mm-hmm.
to give their resources to turn out the black vote.
Mm-hmm.
We're the ones who will have to be held accountable.
That's fact.
And
you face the voters out here.
Absolutely. We have to justify why this person is in office, even if we weren't on their team.
Mm-hmm.
So I have often said, you've got to come in and work with the people who are going to be held accountable.
And here's the other piece, and this is the legacy, I believe, the legacy of racism. It is difficult for far too many white people who have not who are unwilling to address the issue of racism, because in order to address the issues of African people, the thing that many people that have the race issues, what they're required to do is something that they cannot do, and that is to, you've got to humble yourself to the fact that I know more about this than you do.
Mm-hmm.
And that we live in a society that says that is never to be done. You are never supposed to, as a white person, to ever humble yourself to a black person because a black person knows something more about something that you do. So it's almost this historically instinctive thing to, why should I ever have to come to the black community and ask them to do something that I can do just as well? You know, I mean, that's the legacy. Head nods. I'm seeing head nods. And we're going to move out of here. I see all y'all folks on the line. I promise when we come back, I'm getting straight to you, your questions, your concerns, your observations on this very, very, very important, important topic. And also I want to bring it home locally, too, about how you all feel that you are treated by the local Democratic Party here in the city of St. Louis. Travel all the way to the mall to visit your Sears. Why don't you visit the only black-owned and operated Sears located at 3425 Union. That's 3425 Union. Sears. Where else? Where else are you going to get washers, dryers, refrigerators, stoves? How about a tractor? How about some fabulous tools? How about a small DVD player? How about a high-end stove that almost goes and shops for you and then cooks your food? You need to get on down to Sears at Union and Natural Bridge. My name is Liz Brown. When you get your shop on this weekend, get on down to Sears, make it happen, and tell them I told you to.
For the issues that matter most to you, of course, it's AM 920 WGNU. This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA.
This is Mark Hinderleiter, host of Lessons in Leadership. Every Friday afternoon, I interview high-level leaders about leadership issues that matter most. As far as I know, it's the only show of its kind. Whether you're an executive, manager, teacher, coach, volunteer leader, or the head of a family, this show is for you. You'll get practical tips from real leaders on topics that can give you the competitive edge in the marketplace. Tune in every Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock to Lessons in Leadership.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. We've extended this show due to cell phone calls, emails, and phone calls that folks want to get to on the show. We're talking about the issue of the relationship of the community of African descent with the Democratic Party. My name is Liz Brown. I am joined in the studio with Alderman Charles Quincy Troop, Senator Maida Coleman, and State Representative Connie Johnson. Let me get to a couple of your calls here. Yes, you have a question, call, or comment.
Ms. Brown, the truth will always set you free, as I told you. It's an honor to talk to Quincy Truth, Connie Johnson, and Maida Coleman. Your respective titles, it's an honor to talk to you. I want you to know, Connie, Maida, and Quincy, I want you to know these two things right quick and get your opinion. Claire McCaskill is bringing Janet Reno here on the 19th of this month. I told Ms. Brown that whoever her campaign manager is needs to be fired because Janet Reno has no clout. Also, I think it was insult, Quincy, Connie, and Maida, for the Democrats to bring you Jay Nixon. I am not supporting him. I don't care what they say and what he's done to black folks. And one more thing, Maida, Blunt, his comments were Democrats vote where nobody wants to live. But Maida, Connie, and Quincy, how dare them insult us with Jay Nixon. Thank you very much. Have a blessed day.
454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fact. And the Jay Nixon issue is going to be a serious issue. And that, again, gets back to the aspirations of people for statewide elections within the Democratic Party. Jay Nixon is going to be a serious issue. And the Democratic Party needs to have a conversation with the community of African descent about it.
Well, I don't think they're going to have a conversation with Democratic, with black Democrats about Jay Nixon. Jay Nixon has always been Jay Nixon. He's always done everything to impede and obstruct black people. Jay Nixon is so bad that for years the Republicans said that we couldn't find a better candidate than Jay Nixon, and they didn't even run anybody against Jay Nixon for years because he is the worst thing. Nightmare for black people. If you look at the death penalty position that he takes, he expedites and try to get black people killed as quickly as possible. He is a real.
And then this gets back to the issue.
Card, to say the least.
It gets to the issue of the presence of African elected officials in the decision-making. We can go back to the race that's going on in outstate. We can go to the race that is going on in Kansas City. Where are African elected officials weighing in on these issues of who is going to run and represent all of us?
And look at the DSEG issue. Look at the position he did on DSEG and 7-Eleven Senate bill.
That's a fact.
And the taking of $11 million out of the St. Louis public school system, that was all Jay Nixon. So when you really critique Jay Nixon, he's worse than Bill Bohr. I think Bill Bohr, is that his name down in Mississippi? That's what the
Bill Bohr.
Bill Bohr.
Okay, 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to us, Mr. Jones.
How you doing, Miss Brown? Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, thanks for your for the forum here. This is very very timely discussion. However, you know, the local Democratic Party, you know, here we are talking about the state, how dysfunctional the state
is. Okay, let's come home is what you're saying. Come home. We need to talk about that, right?
The state, correct. The
That's
state
right.
Democratic Party as well as the local Democratic Party is just as dysfunctional. I mean, we can look at this for a senatorial race. And if it's so much about electing a black individual, having a seat, it seems as if, like, somebody of thinking mind should have came together and says, well, one of you all should get out so that one can win.
Oh, how about, okay, thank you for that call, for that comment, because we do need to talk about locally the Democratic Party. I have had an exchange on the Blogitude. I didn't know it was going to the Blogitude, but it started as an email from a person that is affiliated with Howard Dean's brother's organization about the endorsement that this national organization made of Jeff Smith. And we had an exchange back and forth. And my question to the Democratic Party is that, one, why are you weighing in on this primary? And two, when you weighed in on this primary, why did you choose a white male when there were three black people running for this race, a male and two female, and all of them with a combined legislative record that is – The white guy has never run for, never been elected.
Absolutely,
anything.
Absolutely, Liz, and that's my point. And Jeff Smith may be able to become a good senator. I don't know. We'll see who gets elected. But it bothers me to no end that we are dealing with. Even if you include Dario Gambaro, a man who was a state representative for at least 4 years, all three of us here served with him. Representative Amber Borkins, who's been in the legislature for 8 years, is being term limited out. Representative Yefit El Amin, and even Kenny Jones has been an elected official.
Over 20 years.
And so we have a national entity weighing in on a local election.
What's the name of the organization? The Democratic, I'll get it. But it's Howard Dean's brother. And that, to me, that makes it, that underscores the significance of it. It's not just any fly-by-night organization. And what troubles me is that I got an email from the head of that organization who had the nerve to say
say to me, well, what difference does the race make?
Oh, my goodness.
That she said it out her ink pen. She said it on the web, that what difference does race make? We didn't even consider race. From a Democratic organization, which is a lie. It's the same colorblind lie that Republicans hide behind. Show it makes a difference what color people are.
I'm really disturbed about the 4th senatorial district race because we have 5 people in this race. Several of them, as we just mentioned, has a wealth of experience. Mm-hmm. What has transpired to have all of that support come to a person that's never held an elected office?
Has run and lost,
absolutely.
Run and lost.
Of course, a lot of people feel is the reason that Jeff Smith is getting all of this attention, because there's the theory out there that the congressman that barely beat him, created,
there you go,
the support for Jeff Smith.
Because of the reality of it, the natural progression of it is, okay, Jeff Smith, you almost beat a Carnahan. Okay, whoop-de-doo, run against him again. Because Carnahan's up for re-election right now. Why didn't you run against him? Because I've heard, word on the street is that Carnahan and him cut a deal that, okay, you won't run against me, and I'll get you a seat in the black district in the city of St. Louis. We'll get you a senator seat.
But that was Brian Wobby that did that, I think.
Oh.
The word I heard, it was Brian Wobby.
Oh.
And you know, that's
stepping
not
on my toes,
that's
in the seventh ward.
Brian Wobby, you know, he's a sleazebag anyway. So
stepping on my toes,
well,
in the seventh ward.
I forgot.
You know,
he was,
that's all right. Well,
I mean, that's what I heard.
But
from reliable sources.
Irrespective of whether or not he is, as Quincy said, a sleazebag, or whether he is the son of God, his personality isn't the issue. The issue here is the interference in a race. So why wasn't there interference in the race down in the Boot Hill when we had a black woman running to make certain that her seat was protected?
Right.
Why wasn't there interference in Kansas City when a black woman is running for a black seat and a white woman introduced a white man in that race? The thing is that, and also, Connie, you talked about the fact that there are rules. We don't get involved in primaries,
right?
So what you doing, what's Brian Wobby doing involving himself in this race?
I do have to say this, and I know people are going to get swole, but we as black people, my cousins, my family, we got to do a better job of keeping our laundry in the house. Because, see, what we have done, we have put our dirty laundry on the street. And then what they have done, they think they know us mm-hmm. well enough to do this. So we have allowed them into our house. So we got to close the doors and bring the laundry back inside and shut it down.
Okay. Well, that's a conversation, I guess, to have off the air. As we are assessing what is going on here, again, irrespective of whether or not it was something of ours out there that allowed this, there's hundreds and hundreds of years worth of racism and entitlement and unearned white privilege that has also gotten us to this place
where
there is a comfort level of pursuing things and cutting deals that keep black people out of power. I am very troubled by the idea that a person who is situated as a Brian Wobby would involve himself in a race for the benefit of a white male who has never been elected into office, whose claim to fame is I lost an election. So that should be problematic to all of us.
Well, it's certainly disturbing to those of us who are elected officials, because we have track records. We voted, for instance, we are big supporters of labor,
mm-hmm.
and I have not seen Jeff Smith's reports,
mm-hmm.
but from what I understand, there's a significant
amount of labor
dollars there. What about Amber Borkin's record in supporting labor? What about...
No, bump that. Amber and bump Yaphet El-Amin. Kenny Jones, irrespective of what
you think
about him, nobody has been a bigger labor advocate than Kenny Jones.
Absolutely.
So what does it come down to?
It's total disrespect.
It comes down to race.
And can I get into this for a minute? I got to go back to the Dean thing.
Howard Dean's brother.
You know, the college Democrats are having their national convention next week, and Howard Dean has been on the itinerary to be a speaker. And he was coming into St. Louis.
He's been on my show before.
And there had been no plan for him to come and talk to elected officials, okay, until a question was raised. You know, so here you have the man who is the national figure for the Democratic Party. You have his brother who's
right.
involved in a local race.
That's right.
And now you're coming into the city.
That's right.
That your brother has gotten involved
That's
with.
That's fact.
And then you didn't want to come and talk to the elected officials in this region. To me, that was a blatant slap in the face. But as late as last night, we've been notified that Howard Dean is going to meet with black elected officials, and I'm sure that this will be one of the issues
it
we
has
will
to
discuss.
Be. It has to be one of the issues because it is a huge thing that Howard Dean's brother has inserted himself into this race. It's a primary race. There are three black people in it. And how many black senators are in the state of Missouri?
We only have three.
And how many white male senators are there in the state of Missouri?
There are 28.
28. And Howard Dean has inserted himself in a race with a guy who has never run, who has never won an office, that has no legislative experience, and at the expense of three African people who have. Let's get to some of these calls here. Alfred.
Yes, I got a couple of things I would like to run by you. First of all, united we will get respect. Our black politicians got to get united. Now, we had a mayor's race in the city. We had a black woman run, but for some reason, our black politicians couldn't support her. Well, maybe they didn't like her for some reason. They should have got together and put somebody up to run against the mayor. The mayor has been, all according to all our black politicians, the mayor has been really dogging the black community. And another thing, a little penny-ante thing that, well, I'm just saying that our black politicians talking about the way the Democrat Party doing them. We got to get united. We can't even get united over Annie Malone parade. They check this. The people that's been running it decide to change the route. And here are black politicians. They didn't talk to me. I'm not going to have nothing to do with it. I'm going to have
and let's talk
a
about
parade
that.
To say.
Thank you for that, for those two observations. We have to take a break. We will come back and we will address those observations because, as always, there has to be clarity on how things happen and what things happen and who did make the decision about the changing of Annie Malone. Was it black politicians or was it the same guy that he was complaining about? So we need to talk about that. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Connect Care, still connected to the community. Sometimes it seems like things are changing so fast that it's hard to keep up and hard to keep track. At Connect Care, we want you to know that, yes, there have been some changes, and yes, we are still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we still have a retail pharmacy open 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. At Connect Care, we still provide transportation to patients that qualify. At Connect Care, we still provide access to in-house laboratory services. At Connect Care, we still provide some of the region's best board-certified doctors. At Connect Care, we still provide urgent care. And at Connect Care, we still see patients on a sliding fee scale. Yes, changes have been made at Connect Care, but we're still connected to you. Connect Care, still connected to the community.
This is Sergeant Gary Wiggard. Don't touch that dial. Step away from the radio. Why? Because I'm next.
Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
Hi, I'm Vicki Pimentel, inviting you to join me Friday nights here on WGNU for a little sports talk. We'll drop the gloves, scuffle a bit, and in the end, line up and shake hands. Well, maybe not line up and shake hands.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
That man in front of me.
Welcome back, welcome back. We have to take a minute. This is Liz Brown. I am here with Charles Quincy Troop, Alderman Dean, and we have Representative Connie Johnson and Senator Maida Coleman. But before that, we got to take a minute to do what we always do. It is time for the Liz Brown Because We Care package giveaway. We need to get the barrel out, start turning the names, and see who the winner is going to be for the Liz Brown Because We Care package. Ms. Hamilton.
Congratulations to Mrs. Watha King.
Mrs. Watha King, congratulations. And one more Because We Care package. Turn the barrel a little harder there, Ms. Hamilton. Get those names all mixed up in there. It's complicated. It's technical. I can't explain it all to you, but we need to pull the name here as we run through the barrel here. Ms. Hamilton.
Edward Glasby.
Congratulations. Write winners on those and put the packages out for them. Thank you so much, Ms. Hamilton. And congratulations to the winner next week. If you didn't win this week, that's all right. We'll be doing it again next week because I care. That's right. Liz Brown, Because We Care package. Get it next week. Let's get back to our conversation. We had a caller talk about the absence of an organizational component for black people getting together. There is a need for that. Correct? Is the caller off base on that?
Yes.
Thank you, Ms. Hamilton.
There's a need, and I want people to understand also they need to be committed to the process. Once we get a black candidate, that's not just good enough. Mm-hmm. You don't just say, okay,
that's
we got
right.
a black candidate, and on election day,
I'll go vote. Mm-hmm.
There's work.
That's right.
There's work.
And commitment. And I think that's going to be the challenge with this election on August 8th and the challenge in November as well. Are people going to have the enthusiasm to connect to this? People work for candidates because there's an enthusiasm created. Enthusiasm is created from elected officials and from organizations out there. Will there be an enthusiasm on August 8th? Will there be enthusiasm in November? If people ain't coming down and talking about this, if people aren't making an effort to come and meet people, how is there going to be an enthusiasm?
I think people should be enthusiastic to go vote for the people that they believe in. And if they don't believe in the people, then they should not vote for those people.
Mm-hmm. But I also, isn't there, Quincy, shouldn't there also be a strategy, too? Because I was opposed to Jean Carnahan because of what I felt was a disrespect to the community of African descent. My strategy was to tell people to stand down, to teach them a lesson that they must respond to us. Certainly, if people are going to vote, they can also engage in a strategic vote as well.
Yeah, I think when we put it in an emotional context, I think that's where we make our mistake. What are you voting?
Solely emotional.
What are we voting for is to improve our quality of life, to improve our homes, to
mm-hmm.
improve our health care, our schools, the environment in which our kids live in, and to have an economic component on there
mm-hmm.
whereby you make money for your community, for your businesses, and you get a piece of the pie. What we're really fighting for is the public pie.
Mm-hmm.
It's a
there
public pie, and we all as taxpayers have a right and a piece
mm-hmm.
of that pie.
Mm-hmm.
And the pie
we
has
for
to
it.
Be, for instance, we put like 20% of the total money, black people, in the state budget, but we only get about 2% back. So that's insane.
It is absolutely
insane. And
that's
a blueprint for poverty. So when we vote, we've
mm-hmm.
got to have an economic agenda
mm-hmm.
first.
Absolutely.
And then after you deal with the money component, then you can become emotional.
Oh, we have to do what women do all the time is multitask.
Yeah,
okay,
I have nine sisters.
Okay,
like right
so
now.
You know that. So you know that. Carfo.
Good morning to you and all your guests.
Good morning.
I'd like to have you all opinion on the two young ladies that are running against each other. I don't have a problem with either one of them. I've been comfortable supporting either one of those two young ladies. But I'm afraid the same thing might happen that happened with Patrick Daugherty. So I'd like to hear you all discuss that, please.
Well, I'll take the first try on that. I am impressed with the caliber of people that we have running in this 4th senatorial district. And I want to tell you, this is Senator Coleman speaking, that I like to support people for them to go on to do the best that's good for them. I have a long history with the Boykins family. I used to work for Billy Boykins when she was in the House of Representatives. As a matter of fact, that's how I know Representative Quincy Troop from 20 years ago. Billy Boykins was then my chief of staff until she retired last year. So, of course, although I'm not out here working on this campaign, and even if I wanted to, I wouldn't because I have so many other responsibilities. I am a supporter of Amber Boykins, and I will tell you why. If we look at things as we're talking about them from who should best represent us. Amber Borkins is running because she was the right candidate. She's the right candidate, and she's been good on so many issues in the 8 years she's been in the legislature. She's running for the Senate because she's term limited out and can carry forward her support of the black community. I love Yefit El-Amin and think that Yefit is very, very bright, but I'm devastated that Yefit has given up her seat, that she had 4 more years to continue to shape and form the agenda for this state. And when people talk about why folks should go and tell this person to get in the race and that person to get out of the race, I'm disappointed that people didn't say to Yefit, stay your 4 years and make a difference in the House. Continue your great work. And we would have had it clear for a black woman to win this race. Now, I don't know the reasons behind Kenny Jones getting in it, but if we wanted to be true to what we claim we're about, Amber Borkins was in the race. Yefit El-Amin gave up a seat to run for this, and that's what I think is the gravest outcome of this, that we may, because we've got all this support going to another candidate, lose both women who are two great legislators.
And then we have the Democratic Party and the National Democratic Party interject itself into this race by having Howard Dean's brother and his organization endorse a woefully unqualified candidate.
And you know that means they're putting their money behind that candidate also.
And why? White male.
Right. We didn't need an interjection. We needed an intervention, mm-hmm. similar to what Senator Coleman talked about with the Barbara Frazier, Jake Zimmerman situation. We needed somebody from on high to come and help us mediate, because there's a role for both of those women in state politics, mm-hmm. and because both of those women are my sorority sisters, that put me in a particular difficult situation. Our 27th Ward did endorse Yefit El-Amin, but there is a role for both of them, so we needed an intervention. And that's what we needed, because there was a role for both. There still is a role for both. And I just wish that there could have been some type of mediation and intervention, and not an interjection mm-hmm. that has divided.
And not only that, but a calculated, cynical act by those outside of this community, rather than to make certain that we have a new African senator, they wanted to make certain that we have yet another white male senator in this race.
You know, and I've known the Borkins, Luther and Billy, almost 40 years, and used to, and Amber and Bernice was there every Friday, every Monday when I picked up Billy to take her to Jeff City. We were both elected at the same time. I understand why Yefit is running, and Yefit was my mentee, and I just have to say, in all honesty, you know, I agree with everything, the math in terms of what Mady said. Of course, Yefit did have 2 more terms. But I just, when you look at term limits and you look at where you are and you look at where Yefit is, in my opinion, I think that the first ward did a better job of preparing and developing and cultivating Yefit than Amber. So I support Yefit. And I think that Yefit.
But we still lose a seat.
I think that's a good possibility that what's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, I mean, irrespective of what happens, whether she's elected or not elected, we lose a seat. We lose a senior legislator and a seat.
Yeah, I agree.
You know,
and we needed an intervention.
Yeah. As an elected official, and I will say this because it certainly came up when I looked at running statewide. I really detest anybody telling me what I should or should not do, or what I can and cannot do, because I'm a contributing member of society who has the right, if I feel that I'm qualified, I ought to be able to run. I just think, as particularly as a co-worker of both of these women, that we have two amazing folks who could be senator, and because we've got 5 folks in this race, we stand a chance to lose it.
But also, don't we also...
And that's what you told me, exactly what you told me. I I'm competent, I'm capable, and I have a right to run
That's
for anything
right.
when we was talking about the license.
But also, don't we have to look at, if we expect people to come from our community and represent our interests, that they have to look at it collectively. Okay. They need to look at their decision to run as to not only about what I think I can contribute, not only that I think I have a right to run, but how will this impact upon the community in its entirety?
And that's why I try to come to the Urban Institute every Saturday, because that is a forum, hopefully that will generate some growth and development,
mm-hmm.
whereby we will move us to a position whereby we can make logical political decisions.
The good thing, that's every Saturday at 9 a.m. at 1020 North Taylor, and that's this Saturday, tomorrow.
The good thing about the Urban Institute and the Missouri Legislative Black Caucus is that we, both groups, are trying to come up with that agenda, that plan to promote mm-hmm. elected black legislators and officials in the state of Missouri, the
about
city
our
of St.
Interests.
Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is going to be a great way for us to work mm-hmm. together. And I thank the caller for that question. Mm-hmm. I think it's very relative.
D.
Good morning. Top of the morning to you guys.
The rest
good
of the
morning.
Day to you.
Senator Maida Coleman?
Yes.
Thank you so much for what you just said about Yaphet and Amber. That's a very wise position. That's what I was looking for when I questioned you about it at the Institute. But I really like this decision that you made, and it'll bring us all together. Thank you,
thank
Dr.
You.
Brown, for these lovely guests.
All right. Thank you. Well, okay, we stirred some stuff up. All right, we did some stuff today. We're coming to the end of it. I'm sorry I didn't get to everybody that wanted to talk. Kenneth, you have a quick question, comment? Kenneth? I'm going to have to let you go. I'm sorry I couldn't get to all of you all. But I do want to take this moment to thank you all for making this an amazing morning, an amazing amount of information. And as we were talking about off the air, we need 57 hours.
Yeah, it's obvious that people are interested in politics by the... You should see this phone, folks. It's just lit up line after line after line.
This is an important issue, and I think that we got a really great discussion started here. We have to do this some more because this is our future. This is our community, and we need to do this.
And it was honest, and it was candid.
Yes, it was.
I think the people related to.
Absolutely. Thank you all so much, Senator Coleman, State Representative Connie Johnson, and
thank
the
you.
Dean, of course, Alderman Quincy Troop. Thank you all so much. Have a great
thank
weekend.
You.
Thank you.
All right, y'all. I'll be back same time, same place on Monday. Stay strong.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and